This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You listen to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back into the squared circle to present to you Wrestle Talk Radio.
What will happen this year at WrestleMania?
You don't think you can beat me, do you, Chris?
Of course I can beat you, Edge.
Oh, no. Talk a big game, but I see it, Chris. I see the doubt in your eyes. I want you at your best at WrestleMania. I don't want any excuses. I don't want you whining and complaining. I want you to live up to your claim, being the best in the world at what you do. But here's the thing, Chris. If you aren't that guy, if you come to WrestleMania with that doubt in your eyes, with that doubt that's lingering in your heart, guess what's going to happen? One more spear, and it's all over.
You know, Brad, once again, you've done it. Some time ago in Montreal, I stated, for a fact, red through press. Last couple of weeks, I've enjoyed it. The last couple of months as well, I've enjoyed it. This is true press. But now here you are again, Brett, with this stipulation, no holds barred, once again, Brett has screwed Brett.
For 13 years, you said Brett screwed Brett. You don't know what I say tonight? Ben screwed Ben.
You want your revenge? Face me at WrestleMania, Undertaker, and get your revenge.
You're on. I accept. On one condition. This year, you have to put up something as well. You defeat me, you end the streak. But if I beat you, your career is over.
You don't get it. If I can't beat you at WrestleMania, I have no career.
And welcome to my favorite weekend of the year. Some people say Super Bowl weekend. Others say Bowl week for college football. Others say Final Four weekend. No, for me, it is WrestleMania weekend, and we are upon it. Tonight is the Hall of Fame ceremony, and tomorrow night at 7 p.m. in Phoenix, Arizona, WrestleMania will get underway. And of course, we are here tonight to preview the spectacle that is WrestleMania. Of course, I am the Spud Guy, and joining me as always is from Down Under, Mace.
Yes, it's WrestleMania weekend, so even though it starts on a Monday for me.
And Tim. Well, hello. And Omega will be here shortly.
We expect Omega might be here shortly. He's being interviewed for a podcast. I didn't know he was looking for a job.
I didn't either.
Well, geez, I feel out of the loop.
I'm
for real.
Yeah. By the way, for all of you in our chat room tonight, while this show is going on, you can vote live in real time with the WrestleMania Madness tournament.
Ooh, yeah!
We're down to the final four matches. And we will get down to the final two tonight. So go vote.
Ticket!
You fail at that, Tim.
Womp, 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 womp. See, I just do my own fail trumpet.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm curious to how many Shawn Michaels matches are left on that thing, by the way.
Maybe one or two. Good evening, everybody, officially. Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio's WrestleMania preview webcast. That's right. We're going to take a look at what we can expect to possibly see tomorrow night. And I'm just going to start off right at the top. Guys, it's looking like it's going to be a solid pay-per-view, but it doesn't look like it's going to be one of the off-the-charts WrestleManias.
Oh, I disagree entirely. And by the way, five Mania matches involving HBK that are still alive in the tournament.
Okay, there are four matches up now, five of which are Shawn Michaels matches. Think about it. Do the math.
No, there's 8 total matches up. 8 in total. There are 4 head-to-head.
Yeah. So basically, yeah. How many Bret Hart matches are up, I wonder?
2.
Yeah, I'm just asking because, you know, you brought up Shawn Michaels. I got to bring up Bret Hart. We're going to be bringing up Bret Hart a little bit later on because, hey, first time in 12 and a half years, they're saying 13, but it's 12 and a half. Well, not quite a half. 12 and, I guess it's a quarter. Wouldn't that be next?
Yeah, something like that. I'm going to close.
Are you awake yet, or have you had enough sleep, Mace?
I need food.
Oh, all right. I heard that you were up to like 4 o'clock in the morning Aussie time at a birthday party.
Yeah, it happens. Good fun.
You see, when I'm up until 4 o'clock in the morning, birthday party or not, I stop at Subway and grab a sub.
$5 for the night?
Open. They're not open at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Really? Wow, Australia. I don't know. I don't think I'd ever want to live in your country, man. I mean, it's too goddamn restrictive. Your video games for age 18 and above are, like, banned or something like that. Your internet sucks ass. Your traffic is always interrupted by kangaroo crossings. And your subways aren't open at 4 in the morning. I was okay with
that. Are we here to bash on Australia, or are we here to talk WrestleMania?
We're here to talk WrestleMania. I was okay with the other three, but you know, Subway's closing at 4, not open at 4 a.m. What the fuck is that? Seriously.
You know, ours aren't open at 4 a.m.
God, man, you guys, you live in a sheltered part of the world, both of you. Holy cow.
No. We live in a part of the world where people actually sleep.
Well, I live in a part of the world that's, like, awake 24 hours a day. And
because there's nothing else to do in Canada. Fuck a moose and play hockey. That's it, dude.
All right. I will punch you through the internet, okay? I will wind up, and I will punch you through the internet. Swear to God. I'm going to do it.
That would be interesting.
Punch you. All right. That's it. I'm going to I'm kicking you. Okay, right now, through the internet, I'm kicking you, and I hope it hurts. My God. No more Canada bashing. My God. You know, this is from a guy. You probably like Ann Coulter, don't you? You're probably one of her supporters.
No, I'm not an Ann Coulter supporter.
You know, I'm surprised, but pleased at the same time. Anyway, that being said, guys, WrestleMania tomorrow, I am looking forward to it. They'll be purchasing the big event, the big ticket item, and having it on the insanely big Timatron 2000 here at the Homestead before we go live with the WrestleMania post show tomorrow night. But taking a look at it, like I said, it looks like it's going to be a solid pay-per-view, but it doesn't look like there's anything going to be really off the hook. We've got Shawn Michaels taking on The Undertaker, Michaels Taker Part 2. And let's face it, it's going to be a good match. These guys are going to deliver, but it's not going to hold a candle to last year's match. I disagree. You have to remember, these guys, Michaels is what, 41? And Taker is like 45. All right, so they're a year older and a year slower than they were this time last year. And trust somebody who knows firsthand. You don't bounce back so easily a year later when you're in your 40s than when you're in your early 30s or late 20s.
No, but what was the last big match Undertaker was in? Last big bumping match he was in? The Elimination Chamber. Shawn Michaels wasn't in the chamber at No Way Out in mid-February. They've had over a month and a half to heal from that, over a month and a half, for the both of them.
You have to remember, Taker's hips are shot. He needs 2 new hips as soon as he retires.
Yeah, so are his knees, and so is Shawn Michaels' back. They're both walking wounded. I'm telling you, this match is going to deliver, and it will deliver more than last year. But that is not going to be the match of the night.
Well, no, I don't think it will be. It'll be a damn good match. I'm not saying that they're not going to deliver. I'm just going to say that it's. I'll tell you right now, it will not hold a candle to last year's match. Now, it's going to be special in its own right. It's going to be good in its own right. We know what's going to happen. Okay, the streak is going to be forever intact until they find another somebody that can come in a la Undertaker whenever Undertaker retires at 21-0 or whatever. He's going to retire undefeated. His WrestleMania, they turn this thing into something that is going to be a hard to, you know, attain record.
Mark my words. Ted DiBiase Jr. is going to end the streak.
No, I'll tell you right now, if they ever end the streak, they have so buggered up so many things. The streak should remain intact until somebody beats the streak, not beats the Undertaker, to end the streak. Undertaker, in my opinion, should never be beaten at WrestleMania. They've gone this long with the streak. They've hyped it up. It's a great thing. Despite the fact we all know that it was all scripted out, but it's something that provides a little bit of, I don't know, specialness to it. Mace, hot than any old time unless you're busy eating.
No, thinking Doug makes a really good point with Ted DiBiase Jr. being the one to end the streak. You know, his old man brought Taker in, and then you got Jr. taking him out.
Yeah, no, you know, like, if you want to look at it from that way, yeah, if you are going to end the streak, that would be, I think, the way to do it. However, I'm saying don't do it.
No,
why not? Well, hang on, let me finish this. Instead of doing that, why not set Ted DiBiase up to be the guy to beat the streak?
Because then you have to wait 21 years to do it, and that's just that's way asinine. Here's the thing. You and I both know this. Mace knows this. All legends go out on their back. They put the new guy over in the territory. It's the way it's always been. And what bigger way to put Ted DiBiase Jr. over and put him on the map, and this is pure speculation that it'll be Ted DiBiase Jr. I'm just using him as an example at this current moment.
But we've got a phone call right now. Hey, caller, who's this and where are you calling from?
Hello?
Caller,
are you... There you are.
I'm sorry. What's up?
Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Jersey. I'm calling from the WWE Access.
Oh, absolutely awesome. Hey, a real-time fan report from WWE WrestleMania Access. What's going on tonight, Jersey girl?
Well, me and my friend just got out of the Hall of Fame. We kind of just rushed over here. We haven't really gotten in yet. But you can tell there's a bunch of screaming going on, so I think we're going to be let in.
Tell
us, Jersey.
Yeah, we can hear you. Tell us, what reaction did Bob Uecker get tonight?
Wait, say that again?
Somebody else say it with an American accent.
All right, what kind of reaction did Bob Uecker get?
Oh, my gosh. Like, everyone loves Bob Uecker. He is so funny because we just couldn't stop laughing at him. I don't know what I'm doing here. This is weird.
Bug, have you got anything to ask Jersey Girl? What?
What's up, Bug?
What's up, Jersey Girl? I was being talked to by my wife.
What was that?
My wife came in the room and was talking to me for a minute. I'm sorry.
Okay.
God, for crying out loud.
So you were at... You see, she's at where I want to be. I've never been to WrestleMania, and she's been to two of them.
I'm going next year, too.
A fail. Where is it next year, by the way?
It's in Atlanta.
It's in Atlanta? Oh, I can get to that one. That's close. Anyway.
It's in Atlanta.
It is. I can actually get to that one. That's actually pretty close. You went to the Hall of Fame ceremony tonight, right?
Right.
How was it? Was it as cool as it looks on television?
Yeah, we actually left early. We felt really bad. They just introduced Teddy DiBiase, and we took a really quick patrol, and then we kind of left because we're like, oh my gosh, we're not going to be able to make it to the access sometimes if we don't leave. So we actually left in the middle of the speech. We felt so bad.
Who all of you met down there at Mania this weekend?
Well, we just got here yesterday, and this is our first access tonight. So we haven't. Like, the only person that we actually met this morning was CM Punk and Luke Gallows. They came to our hotel for a special autograph signing.
And how big of a douche was he?
No, he was really nice. And I actually showed him a picture from 2 years ago that I had on my cell phone of him, and he's like, dude, I remember that picture. It was hot as hell that day, and Mickey James called me an asshole.
Well, he is an asshole.
So I started laughing. I just thought it was funny.
Right on.
He was really nice.
Well, you have fun down there, dear.
I will. I'll call tomorrow, too.
Enjoy yourself. Be safe.
I will.
We all know that the mean streets of Vegas or the mean streets of Phoenix are filled with the elderly.
That's funny.
And cranky,
you guys crack me up.
And cranky people from Ohio who are trying to avoid the snow.
Hey, we actually saw people from Youngstown at our hotel today.
See? Rep in Ohio. I told you. But have fun down there. No, I'm extremely jealous of you.
Well, you gotta come next year, man.
I will. You know what? We'll have a big WTR party.
Okay, and we'll get up and see Bob, because Bob's looking at the Georgia Dome.
It's all right. I'll cuddle naked with Jersey Girl next year.
I know you won't.
It'll be hot. All right,
okay,
have a good night.
I'll see you guys later.
Don't hang up yet, Jersey Girl. Do me a favor?
Sure.
Okay, if you run into Tyson Kidd, David Hart Smith, and or Natalya Neidhart, if you get a chance to meet them,
okay.
Would you tell them Tim Stein in Calgary says hi?
I will pass along that message.
I was planning
on saying that anyway, Tim.
Oh, I didn't know that, but yeah, they'll remember me, and they'll probably wonder how the hell you know me. So.
I'll tell him. I got him from Wall Talk Radio.
There you go. Yeah, just say Russ Talk Radio. They'll know. Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you very much for calling in, Jersey Girl. Really appreciate it.
All right, I'll see you guys later.
Oh, everybody, Jersey at the Fan Access. She's down in whatchamacallit, Phoenix, Arizona tonight, taking in all
I'm
the fun.
Jealous.
You're jealous. I think that everybody listening, all 12 of us, are jealous.
I don't think you understand how much I look forward to WrestleMania every year.
Oh, I think I have an idea.
WrestleMania is my favorite time of year. WrestleMania was the first ever pay-per-view I saw. I remember being 5 years old and sitting on the floor at my dad's house watching Hulk Hogan pick up Andre the Giant and body slam him and retain the title.
Yeah.
You know, and because that's the big misconception about WrestleMania 3. Everybody thinks that Andre was the champ and that Hogan beat Andre for the championship. No, no, no. Hogan was the champ at that point. He beat Andre to retain. So, you know, that started my whole love affair with wrestling, right? I mean, that night and every year. And our birthday, my dad and I's birthday is on the same day. And it usually falls, your WrestleMania usually falls either the week before, the weekend of, or the week after. And my birthday is coming up this coming Friday, so, I look forward to it every year. It's my favorite time of year. And as I was saying before Jersey Girl called in, I was just using Ted DiBiase as an example, but to put finality to Undertaker's career and put the next guy over, the guy that you are going to build upon and you know can be a workhorse for you, you want to end that streak. You want to have someone beat Taker at Mania, pin him 1-2-3, because that is the ultimate. You know, beating Ric Flair at WrestleMania for Shawn Michaels might have been a big deal. I think it would have been bigger if it was Triple H beating Ric Flair. This year, Undertaker beating Shawn Michaels and retiring Shawn Michaels, because we know it'll last like 6 months while Shawn Michaels heals, you know, will be a big deal. But the fact that for however many WrestleManias, be it 20, be it 25, whatever, that Undertaker has gone in and Vince has trusted him to carry the show and said, you're going over for nearly a quarter of a century now, is a big fucking deal. And when you have that new guy and you say, guess what? Tonight's your night, kid. You're beating the legend. You're now our guy. It only makes it that much more special for that individual, and I think that is the only way you can do it. You can't say, guess what? You're going to be our guy. Taker's going to retire, but he's going to beat you, and now you have to. We're going to trust you to win 20-whatever straight WrestleManias in a row, so you will become the guy at that point. No.
Well, first off, you're making the assumption that Undertaker would wind up retiring immediately following a WrestleMania, number one. Number two, yes, the grand tradition is when you leave the territory, you go out on your back. However, there are exceptions. And in this case, I would make that exception. I would, if Undertaker's going out on his back, he can go out at, you know, SummerSlam can be his final match.
I don't think WWE, so.
Or tires.
What do
and
you think,
that
Mace?
Mace, what's your opinion on the streak?
I can see what Spoke's getting at, and to be honest, when he said, you know, yeah, take somebody and go, this is your night, kid, you're being a legend, my mind instantly flashed to John fucking Cena, and I shuddered.
Ew!
But it's hard to Undertaker gets a lot by keeping the streak and retiring with it intact. And if you've got somebody to beat it, you've got to be very careful because you've got to keep that guy around for quite a long time afterwards. And by the time they get to the point where they should be challenging Taker for the streak, they're already in a main event or higher up position, especially in the last probably 10 or so years.
Uh-huh.
So you can't exactly take a new guy and give him the win over Taker, because I don't know.
I'm not saying you pull a Sheamus on him. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying you pull a Sheamus on Taker and just, you know, pull somebody out of the blue. You can tell that they're grooming somebody like DiBiase for that main event spot eventually. You can see the grooming with Cody Rhodes and with Ted DiBiase. If Taker is going to take some time off, which he usually does right after WrestleMania for a few months, and you say, we're going to build this program between them for the next year or whatever, or they start building it at the Royal Rumble, or you wait till maybe not next year, but the following year, where Taker's like, all right, I'm almost 50, it's time to hang it up, we're done. And you build that program with DiBiase as an example. DiBiase should already have one title reign under his belt at that point and should be ready to be the guy.
Well, again, this could be a case of we have to agree to disagree until the final outcome happens. And I will say that he retires with an intact WrestleMania streak. That's okay. That's my prediction. That's where I'm going for.
Now, for your prediction for tomorrow night.
That, however, yeah, tomorrow night, Shawn Michaels, valiant effort, Undertaker, valiant effort. Shawn Michaels looks like he's going to win. I am going to say that Taker wins with the with his submission hold.
I don't know if he's going to win by the submission hold. I think it's going to be a classic tombstone pile driver, and it's going to be over.
How did Shawn get pinned last year?
Tombstone?
Don't you think that they would avoid doing the same finish twice in a row?
I don't think Taker's back and hips can handle that.
No.
I don't. You've seen how extremely physical that triangle choke is on the lower body. I don't think snapping into that real quick that Taker's hips could handle that. He might get carted off.
He doesn't snap into that quickly to begin with. It's painfully slow when he puts it on there. His opponent is always in a fortuitous spot for it to look like it's put on, you know, snap, and there it is. But if you watch him, he doesn't move quickly. And, you know, the hips and the knees, yeah, they're buggered up. The back is buggered up somewhat. You're telling me that him doing a tombstone pile driver is going to be easier than throwing on that triangle choke?
I think if he catches him the right way, yes. I don't think that triangle choke... Is it possible that they could end it by the triangle choke? Absolutely. Do I think it's going to happen? No.
Well... The other way would be that power bomb hit, you know.
I hate that power bomb.
Yeah. But,
we go with the tombstone to finish it. It's WrestleMania. It's the Undertaker. You've got to break out the classic finish for it.
Well, I've got a feeling that you know, you want to talk tombstone. I don't see it happening, but if it does happen, I'm figuring that Michael winds up taking two of them. Not one, but two.
Oh, yeah. Well, and truly, you take a look at their match last year, it was basically counter for every single finisher both guys had, and it just took Michael getting caught from a moonsault before Taker could hit the tombstone on him. I'm expecting nothing less than that this year.
Yeah, well, like Rock is reminding us, he took two last year before he got put out for the final 1-2-3, so.
Fine, this year he takes four.
Quick WrestleMania trivia.
Yeah.
Who is the only person in WrestleMania history to have ever taken more than two tombstones from The Undertaker?
Okay, now is that up to us to try to answer that right now, or are we going to leave that open for the chat room for a while?
I was going to let you guys answer it right now, but if you want to leave it up in the chat room, we can.
Yeah, leave it open to the chat room. Chat room, pay close attention. Who's the only person to take more than two stone pile drivers in one match from Undertaker?
I think it's pretty easy. But anyway, you look at this WrestleMania, and it is chock full of great matches. And I think this is where you're wrong when you said that you don't think it's going to be an outstanding card. You think it's going to be a solid card, Tim, but you don't
solid.
Think it's...
I don't see any off-hook.
And I disagree. And when we come back from break on a WrestleMania preview right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, I will explain why.
Okay, well, we'll be looking forward to that on the other side of this quick little timeout. Everybody, you're listening to Wrestle Talk Radio's WrestleMania preview, a look ahead at what we can expect tomorrow night at the granddaddy of them all, WrestleMania. And, of course, a little bit later on tonight, going to give you something called Tim's Truisms. What the hell was that? You'll find out if you stick around. We'll be back right after this.
Well, look way down the river. What do you think I see? I see a band of angels and they're coming after me. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, look down yonder, Gabriel. Put your feet on the land and see. But Gabriel, don't you...
Thursday night, Wild Talk Radio Network becomes a place where anything goes. Prepare to be sinful. Thursdays, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio, or anything goes. Or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talky Talk Live. All you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
Wild Talk Radio is sponsored by Tripology. Book your next trip with Tripology. If you're finding it's time to get away, you have an important upcoming business trip, or if it's last minute and you need to get there fast without any hassle, call Tripology today.
I'm sure.
If you're working too many hours and can't find the time to plan that badly needed vacation, then stress no longer. Tripology is here to help. Tripology will help you get to where you need to go, whether it's for an important business trip, a last-minute flight out to see a loved one, or that much-needed and overdue vacation. Now is the time to make Tripology your travel agent. Call Tripology toll-free at 1-866-289-9950 or log on to www.mytripology.com and plan your trip now.
Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WTR Saturday night, that's right, special Saturday night WrestleMania preview show. WrestleTalk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And we're going to be taking a look at all the matches tonight, including the secret one that we're not going to talk about because it was added secretly, thanks to the hot detonate, by the way. But before we do that, I'm going to drop my, what I call Tim's truisms on you here. I'm going to give you something that we can accept as a truism in the world of professional wrestling. I got a bunch of these. I'm not going to give them all to you in one shot, but I'll be dabbling, you know, dishing these out a little here and a little there as the weeks go by. First off, Tim's truism number one, the next time Hulk Hogan hulks up, he'll break his fourth hip replacement.
Yeah.
That's true. Impressive.
Okay, another Tim's truism. If you're a John Cena fan, you are automatically a homosexual.
I think my wife would disagree with you.
Okay, let me clarify. If you're male and a John Cena fan, you're automatically a homosexual.
I think my wife would disagree with you.
Your wife's not a male.
No, but I am a John Cena fan. I've been sucked back in.
Well, we've been calling you a fag for years, so it fits.
This past month with Cena and the feud with Batista, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. But every time Cena gets on the mic and starts talking, I have to stop what I'm doing and listen. And I think it goes back to the promo he did with Vince about Bret.
Yeah, I don't know. Every time John Cena opens his mouth, I stop what I'm doing and mute the TV.
Have you actually listened to him lately?
I try not to.
No, I don't. I'm serious. Don't be an ass about it. I mean, literally, have you listened to any of his promos lately?
I seriously tune him out when he starts yapping.
Dude, his promos have gotten so much better.
Well, I'm sure they have, but it's like it's a Pavlovian response. He starts talking, and my brain automatically shuts him out.
It's, you know, back in the day when he did the Thuganomics gimmick, he could talk. I mean, we all agree.
They said go out there. That's because they said go out there and do your John Cena rap. And
but
it was good to listen to. Then they started writing it for him.
I know, but when they allowed him to do his thing, he could talk, and he could do it. And he did it well.
I think we all agree on that. Pretty much, more or less.
And then there came the period of the mid to later 2000s,
yeah,
where he got over hardcore, and they just started writing every one of his promos for him, and it was the same basic thing every time, and it got real old, and it was like Triple H back in the day when he was shoved down our throats, and people got sick of it. And I will admit, I was sick of it too.
A lot of us still haven't recovered from that.
A lot of people don't. There's still a lot of people that hate Triple H.
Oh, hey, you remember that Bleacher Report article that I pointed out to you about 3 weeks ago?
Yeah. Yeah, I
fake.
Do.
Yeah. Hey, losers, don't you know wrestling's fake?
Yeah, didn't they take it down?
No, actually, the guy had like 350,000 comments from wrestling fans, and 99% of them were articulate, well thought out, spelled correctly, and he took back most of what he said. But this just leads me to one more Tim's truism for right now. If you think you need to state that wrestling's fake, you must have an IQ of 60.
That would make you legally retarded.
Anything below a 79.
Yeah, exactly. That's 70. I think it's 75. But anyway.
Well, 75.
You may be right. It may be 79. But anyway. And I know Mace is eating, so when he's done, I want him to get on us, too. And I know he hates Cena. But, and I'm not saying I'm a Cena mark and that I will buy all of John Cena's merchandise and, you know, have a love affair with him like I do for Triple H. No, no, no. I have a different and a newfound respect for the man because you can see it. You can see that he's legitimately trying to break out of this mold that the crap writers in the back have forced him into.
Yeah, but it's not just the shitty writing, Spud. At the same time, his five moves of doom and his no selling and his Superman in the ring is just really tired.
Okay? I know, but Hogan had the same six move repertoire, and Hogan no sold, and Hogan did all of those things that Cena does now. Look,
and Hogan
Cena
got real tired.
He did. I'm not saying Cena isn't tired. I'm not saying that Cena doesn't need to try some new moves. What I'm saying is I have a newfound respect for the man over the past 2 months and listening to his promos and listening to the progression in them and listening to him slowly try to force them to break the mold on his gimmick. I can respect that.
That's fine. That's fine. For several years now, ever since they discovered he's the Golden Boy, WWE has tried to make John Cena the PG-friendly version of Stone Cold Steve Austin. But you know the major difference between Austin and Cena? Austin came across a lot more human. He took a shit-kicking and didn't immediately recover from it like we're so used to seeing John Cena do. And he didn't always win. Like we're so used to seeing John Cena do. Yeah, sure, he's taken a few losses lately, but,
taken a lot of shit kickings lately, too, and that's another thing I give him credit for. That goes back to breaking out of that mold.
Yeah, and he still recovers, and you still need to put him down with three or four guys, or a sneak attack, or whatever. I mean, that gauntlet match that he had to go, participate in against Vince McMahon, he's got all these guys coming in and kicking the crap out of him, and he's good until he gets a surprise spear by Batista, and Batista's the only one who can put him down long enough for Vince to pin him. Go ahead.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things about Cena that are still tiring and that are old and need to be fixed, but my only point in this is that in the past 2 months, this feud that started with McMahon and went through Batista and is now going to get some finality tomorrow night at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of change in Cena. And, yes, he's probably going to go over Batista, more than likely. But if they keep the title on Batista and continue this, I will stand up and applaud. Because I think there's a lot of growth to be there for the Cena gimmick.
Well, you know, it's time we preview John Cena and Dave Batista to begin with. And I'll tell you what I would like, and I'll give you the reasons why this is what I want to happen. I don't care if it's a clean finish. I don't care if it's a mosh or a schmoz or a DQ or whatever. I want Batista to retain the belt. And I'm not saying that because I'm anti-Cena, but I'm looking at the bigger picture here. And that will tie in to one of the matches later on tonight that we're going to be talking about.
I think Batista retaining over Cena gives more long-term possibilities and profitabilities for WWE than Cena winning tomorrow night.
Uh-huh.
Oh, but that's just my opinion. We got a guy in Australia who needs to start talking.
Yeah, Mace, start chiming in. We're talking Cena and how much we love him, and then we're about to talk the Cena-Batista match.
Yeah, well, here's the problem with that. Every time Batista or John Cena's been on the TV for this feud, I've tuned out. I have, like, no interest whatsoever in this match.
There's a lot of people that don't. There really is. And WrestleMania 22 in Chicago, when Triple H fought John Cena for the title, it was right as Triple H was starting to make his turn. I mean, you know, there were those little glimpses of Triple H becoming, you know, the long-term face that he is now.
Uh-huh.
But it was at that point in Triple H's career where he was, where people were real sick and tired of him, of everything he did. And, you know, people wanted, there were people who wanted him to win. There were people who wanted Cena to retain, and Cena did end up retaining over him that night.
Uh-huh.
Or beating him. I think Triple H was the champion. But Cena did win. And, you know, that started, that was the, you know, the beginning of what we have of Cena now. But there are similar, there's a lot of parallels between those two. You know, Triple H was forced down our throat as the main heel for so long that everybody hated him, legitimately hated him. He had the bad kind of heat for a while.
Well, not from every corner, just the cool kid.
That sort of reminds me of JBL's heel turn and when he was champion.
Yeah.
That's why the heat Triple H got.
Yeah, he got a lot of heat that wasn't legitimate heat. You know, it wasn't justified in as far as it being, you know, one, the good type of heat, and two, a lot of the things that they spewed out there weren't fair towards Triple H. Yes, he is married to Stephanie, but do you realize how much shit Vince went through to keep those two apart?
He did everything he could, and that included putting Stephanie in charge of the SmackDown creative team while Hunter was on Raw. But at the same time, yeah, sure, he got a lot of negative press from a lot of people, from a lot of quarters, and he was getting a lot of negative heat as opposed to the good heat. But at least it was an X-Pac heat.
No, and I think Cena unfairly gets X-Pac heat.
No.
Everybody's entitled to their opinion, and opinions are just like assholes. Everybody's got one, and they all
say some of them smell real bad. But you know, as far as that goes, I'll wait until you know, it just has to be proven to me. And as soon as they stop trying to push him so hard and just let the flow happen, his character just feels way too forced at this point.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, it did not feel forced when he was out there freestyling and doing his own shit and telling Kurt Angle to suck his dick. If you remember that promo he cut on him when he came out and did that rap on everybody.
I do, and with the WWE as a whole, there has been a shift lately, and I don't know if it has to do with the reemergence of Bret Hart or the emergence of TNA as becoming a threat, but you can tell that creative has gotten a little bit more, shall we say, creative. Not by much, but there are small glimmers there. There's small glimmers of hope.
They're starting to spark, and how long have we heard Vince say, TNA, they're not, you know, we're not worried about them. TNA, they're not competition. Right?
Right.
This past week, did you read Vince McMahon's comments about TNA?
No, I didn't.
He started shooting on TNA.
That's how you know he's threatened.
That's exactly what I'm saying. That's the first time he said any, you know, he's mouthed off about TNA at all. And you can tell that he's starting to think. And this is what I was hoping would happen. I wanted to hear Vince react to the fact that TNA is stepping up. TNA's making a move. TNA stepped up. TNA made a move. They still have a ways to go, and it's going to take them a while to get there. But apparently, some of the shots that they fired came pretty close to hitting the target for Vince to start firing back like that.
Right.
And it's only good for us, the fans.
Well, Eric Bischoff put it in his reply to those comments was that, you know, before Vince was like, yeah, TNA's no competition, yet they lost over 1 million viewers in that first show, which, okay, I don't care if you're pulling in, you know, 350 million viewers a show or whatever. A loss of 1 million viewers is still 1 million set of eyes that are not watching your product. And a loss in any form is a loss.
Yeah.
Right. Well, here's the thing, though, what I'm trying to get back to. If you can tell that there are small glimmers of hope with the creative, that Vince is starting to go, wait a minute, boys, we got to do something here. And the reins and the shackles are slowly starting to come off. You know, Vince always says that they're entertainment. They're in the entertainment business. Well, what is the best form of entertainment that you've ever seen? It's ad-libbed. It is when they are allowed to go off the cuff and react in real time to the crowd and their environment.
As opposed to, okay, you got to do this at a certain time, and as soon as he does that, you got to do this, and as soon as he does that, then they've got to do this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's what WWE has been since 2003.
Yes.
If you study it carefully enough, you can predict exactly how the wrestlers, or if you'll excuse me, the sports entertainers, are going to react.
Exactly. And I think now there's just a skosh of unpredictability there. Just a tiny bit.
Just a skosh. Well, I'll tell you this right now. TNA may not have been getting the audience that they should have, or at least hoped they would get the last two shows, but they sure as hell deserved an audience. On a couple of really, really entertaining shows.
Well, we can talk about TNA next week. This week is WrestleMania week, buddy. We can talk all the TNA you want next Sunday night.
Yeah, there are a couple of thoughts that we're going to get out tomorrow night about TNA, but 99% of everything is going to be about WWE and WrestleMania. But that being said, why don't we take a look at the next match that we have scribbled down to look at, which is John Cena versus Dave Bautista.
I thought that's what we were talking about.
Yeah. Well, getting back to it then. Fine, whatever.
Fine.
John Cena versus Dave Bautista tomorrow night. I'm not expecting anything special. I'm not expecting a barn burner. I'm not expecting a main event match between these two guys.
And yet, unfortunately, they might be the ones to close out the pay-per-view.
I still think it's going to be Edge and Jericho.
I think it should be Edge and Jericho.
There's rumors going around of three possible final matches, which is Cena Batista, Taker Michaels, or Vince McMahon and Bret Hart.
Now, Vince, Bret, no, you do not put that match in as the main event. At best, you go semi-main.
I think that match should be in the middle of the card, to be quite honest. Because
right.
If you have...
Keep the crowd hot in the middle of the show by putting that match on.
Yeah, if you have the... If you have the 10-man Money in the Bank opening up the show, which, by all accounts, is going to, and then you go to, say, the Mysterio Punk match, and then you throw in, you know, a little bit of the WrestleMania stuff that they always do, and then you go to the Divas match, which was so nonchalantly added to the card. And then, you know, you go to Hart McMahon, and you get that crowd back up again. And, you know, I was thinking about it during the break, Tim, and I think that the card, as far as WrestleMania is utterly solid. And I think it's going to be a fantastic show, an absolutely fantastic show.
Solid on paper.
No, I think it's going to be better than than what you think it's going to be. I really do think it's going to be a top notch. This is going to be something we're going to be talking about for a very long time type of pay-per-view.
My only I'm expecting three WrestleMania moments tomorrow night for damn sure.
My only reservation about this particular pay-per-view is this. Look at this card. You have the 10-man Money in the Bank. You have Hart Michaels, Hart McMahon, Undertaker and Michaels, Batista and Cena, Edge and Jericho, Triple H and Sheamus, Randy Orton in a triple threat match. You have so many high quality stars in those matches that it's almost like you want to do. It's almost like you're trying to make the show itself a continuous high spot. And my only reservation is that one of those matches is not going to be able to outdo the one before it.
Yeah. Well, again, like I say, I'm expecting a solid show. I'm just not expecting anything totally off the hook. Like, wow.
I think you're going to get the wow factor tomorrow night.
I don't expect the wow factor. I really don't. I'm going to sit back and I'm going to watch as a fan. Okay, now don't make any smart ass comments about this, but I'm going to sit back and I'm going to watch as a fan when Bret and Vince go up to dance. And I'm going to be watching those two tango and I'm going to sit back. You know, I'm going to mark a bit.
Oh, I will too. Dude, I've been waiting as long as you have for McMahon to get his ass kicking.
And I've just been waiting to see Bret back, and everything's, you know, pretty much water under the bridge now, and he's pretty much done on air with WWE after WrestleMania. He'll be sticking around with WWE afterwards, but wind up probably most likely doing stuff behind the scenes. Maybe they'll offer him a job as a road agent or something.
I think he's going to stick around with him. I hope he does. There's a lot that the newer guys can learn from him, and a little secret that most of WTR audience doesn't know. I actually have a pair of Bret Hart's original glasses that he used to come to the ring with.
Well, I knew that, but you weren't supposed to tell them that.
I got them when I was a little kid at a show at the Richfield Coliseum.
Yeah, blew your cover, dude. You blew your cover.
Nah. They did a house show at the Richfield Coliseum when I was a little kid, and my dad took me to it, and we got to sit actually pretty close back then when ticket prices weren't through the roof. And I got a pair of Bret Hart's glasses, which was really cool.
Uh-huh.
I think the kid like three seats down from me got Neidhart's glasses.
Neidhart's glasses probably wound up in the garbage compactor 6 months later.
They did belong to Neidhart after all.
Yeah, you know, don't get me wrong, I love Jim, but I don't think we'll ever have him on WrestleTalk Radio ever again.
Probably.
I can't afford it, man. $100 bar tab just for him to come on the show?
Really? That's what it costs? Jesus.
Yeah, he was invited to be on WrestleTalk Radio one night.
He lives up there in Canada. He lives up there in Calgary, I thought.
Oh, no, he lives down in Tampa, but he's up here all the time. However, at this one particular night, pay-per-view, we're at Bottoms Up Sports Pub. We're watching the pay-per-view, and I said, "Hey, Jim, how you doing?" He goes, "Hey, Tim, good to see you again. Blah, blah, blah. What are you doing nowadays?" So I just, you know, and I told him what I was doing for a real job for money. He says, "Well, what are you doing here?" He says, "Oh, just taking in the pay-per-view and doing an internet radio show." He says, "Oh, what's that like?" So, you know, it's fun. We talk wrestling. "Oh, really?" And so, like, "Do you interview people?" I says, "Yeah, we interview people." Oh. "So, what are you going to pay me to come on the show?" And I said, "Jim, this is a hobby. I don't have the money." He says, "Oh, well, I don't do it that way." And I was like, "Well, sorry." Mark the Shark DiCarlo, almost dropped his real name here for a second. Mark the Shark DiCarlo standing behind me. I go and I finish setting up the laptop to get the simulcast ready. And next thing I know, 10 minutes later, Jim the Anvil Neidhart is sitting beside me. He says, "You got an extra headset there?" And I go, "Yeah, sure, Jim, here." He puts it on, and he actually guest hosted that entire show.
And I found out that after I had gone to our table to set up, the shark said to Anvil, look, Jim, what would it take for us to get you on the show? You just come on and, you know, talk a couple of minutes and let everybody know what you're doing, answer a couple of questions, and we'll leave you alone for the rest of the pay-per-view. He says, I don't know, give me a bar tab. Shark said, okay, sure, no problem. Now, as you know, and some people who are tuned in don't know, Mark the Shark DiCarlo, owner of Bottoms Up Sports Pub, so, of course, you know, he can float a bar tab to anybody any old time he wants, right? He opens up a bar tab. Jim the Anvil Neidhart decides he's going to sit in on the entire 2.5 hour, 2 hour and 45 minute show. Right? Well, he's there and sits in on the show. I don't think about it, but I notice he doesn't have 3 seconds that there's not a beer not in his hand. Okay? There isn't 3 seconds of no beer time, if you know what I'm saying.
Right.
At the end of the night, I'm packing up, the archive is being saved before I shut the computer down, and Shark said, well, that was funny. It's the way he talked. He says, your show just cost me $100. I says, what? He says, well, Jim said that he'll come on the show if I give him a bar tab, so I got him a bar tab. Well, he kept staying on the show, and he kept ordering his beer, and the longer he stayed on the show, the more beer he ordered, and I guess he had to figure it out. If he stayed on the show, then he had his whole night free. So it wound up costing $100. Now, this is $100 out of his own pocket, out of the bar's pocket. This is not $100 out of your pocket or my pocket. Right?
Well, you're talking about a bar on a pay-per-view night, so it's not like Shark didn't make that up. But I can understand sacrifice.
But like $100 bar tab there is like $450 nowadays. Right.
Hold on, Jim. Hold on.
What?
I'm reading the chat room as you're speaking. Antonio says, wow, Stu Hart, they're not broadcasting the Stu Hart induction. And somebody in the chat room said, well, he isn't alive, so it's not a huge deal.
Oh, my God.
It's an extremely huge deal. Dude, people, I wanted to talk about this towards the end of the show, because the lineup for the Hall of Fame tonight, there isn't anybody in the modern era of wrestling that's being inducted. There's no Stone Cold Steve Austins. There's no Triple H's. There's no Ric Flair's that are still wrestling. There's nobody like that. This is honoring the past like it should be. Gorgeous George, Mad Dog Vachon, you know, all of those.
Well, according to our interpreter producer, if you do want to catch Stu Hart's induction into the WWE Hall of Fame, the video is now up on WWE.com. Now, here's the thing about Stu Hart. I would say, Spud, you were probably just at the right age. Same with you, Mace. I don't know if you know very much about Stampede Wrestling at all, as a matter of fact. But you'd be at the right age if you're in North America anyway. I don't want to make any assumptions or anything like that. But the most influential professional wrestling broadcast program in history is not WWF TV. It's not WWE. It's not Monday Night Raw. It's not Stampede. It's Stampede Wrestling. All of the shit that you saw in the Attitude Era, Stampede Wrestling was doing in the 1960s.
I will say this. I will say this.
On TV.
Well, they had the very first ladder match ever. Stampede Wrestling had the very first ladder match ever. And the thing with Stu Hart and why he is so influential, Ustreamer 92831, is the fact that Stu Hart is probably one of the most influential wrestling trainers ever.
As a matter of fact, yeah, the hand of Stu Hart is still being felt today in the ring as we speak.
You look at the lineage of the people who came out of that dungeon. Chris Jericho, Chris Benoit, Davey Boy Smith, the Hart Boys. You know, the list goes on and on and on and on.
The Dynamite Kid. You said Chris Jericho. A lot of people don't realize this. Edge and Christian, they worked in Calgary. Okay? They had some training in the dungeon.
Right. Like I said, the list goes on and on and on and on and on and on.
Diesel, also known as Kevin Nash. Okay, Abdullah the Butcher was the regular in Stampede Wrestling. Right? The last person, as a matter of fact, the last person to be trained in the infamous Heart Dungeon is a relative newcomer in the world of professional wrestling in WWE. You know him as Tyson Kidd. I know him as my buddy TJ Wilson.
I'm so glad that WWE, and the most modern person on that list tonight is Ted DiBiase. And he was influential in his own right. The thing with this list tonight, as far as, you know, the inductees to the Hall of Fame, is that Vince McMahon and WWE are finally honoring where the sport came from and the influences those people had on the sport. Without Gorgeous George, there would have never, ever, ever been a Ric Flair. Ever. You know?
Absolutely no argument. And, you know, you guys can say, well, right, you're just marking out because you're a Calgarian, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, no, I'm marking out because Stampede Wrestling set the fucking bar that every other promotion aspired to. And you can ask any independent promotion, past or present. Do they want to be WWE? Well, they want, you know, the guys working there nowadays want to be WWE. But when you look at what's going on in the independent scene, 98% of these independent federations, where's the bar set? Bud?
It's set very high. And
Stampede Wrestling.
Yes. And when you look at the overall landscape of professional wrestling, and I'm not going to disagree with you that Calgary is one of the meccas of professional wrestling. I also happen to think that Mexico and Japan hold their own right too, because they are very influential in professional wrestling throughout its history.
Well, absolutely no argument there. I mean, look at one of the inductees this year.
Antonio Inoki.
Exactly. And
trainer of Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. Well, how influential was Antonio Inoki to Bret Hart?
Extremely.
After Bret got his training from his old man, he fucked off to Japan. Got more training by Inoki and, how do you say that? Hasehiro Mota or whatever his name is?
Hasehiro Mota?
Yeah. And, you know, all of the big names out there who were both, they were wrestling, they were training, and they were running their own promotion. Right?
Right.
And he brought that back, you know, he brought that back to Stampede Wrestling, Stu incorporated that, and I'll tell you, the most realistic looking professional wrestling I've ever seen anywhere was the original Stampede Wrestling. Now, the thing about that, it was so believable that Stampede Wrestling was suspended by city council for 30 days. Remember Archie the Stomper Goldie?
No, I do not. I'm sorry.
Okay. Mace, do you know that name, Archie the Stomper?
Doesn't ring a bell to me.
Okay. If there are any old school fans in the chat room, well, I'm sure that a couple of you will have heard of Archie the Stomper Goldie. Got into a feud with Bad News Allen Brown. Bad News Allen in Stampede Wrestling, Bad News Brown in the WWF. And it's all a work, of course, naturally. But Archie Goldie's son had his neck broken by Bad News Allen. Well, city council was up in arms, and they had meetings about this, and I told Stu, no, you cannot run your promotion for 60 days. Forget it. And that led to Bad News Allen being barred from wrestling in the city of Calgary as well. It was, you know, like everybody was snowed. Of course, this was back when kayfabe was king, and if you weren't in the business, you weren't smart to it. However, at the same time, you know what I'm saying, right?
Right. You know what? We're way past top of the hour, so we need to get to a break.
Yeah. We were supposed to take a break 11 minutes ago. My God.
Yes. So, I'm sorry. Like I said at the top of the show, this is one of my favorite nights of the year. So,
yeah.
But everybody, go to the main page, wildtalkradio.com, click on the Mania Madness tab, go vote.
No. It's easy. It's easier than that. Spud, all they got to do is scroll to the top of the chat. They see the Mania Madness banner. And all they got to do is right-click it and choose to open that link in a new window. It opens up in a new window, and you can still listen to us while you vote on those matches.
Go vote. We're at the Final Four. The Final Four contest, last eight matches, and we're voting on them live tonight. And we will unveil the final two that will be voted on live during our WrestleMania post pay per view show tomorrow night right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We'll be right back after this.
I'm voting now.
Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present, such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania,
climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling.
www.audiowrestling.com.
And check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling.
Keeping you tuned in
since 1996.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
WTR, hey, Saturday night, Rust Talk Radio WrestleMania preview show. Saturday night, night for the fan event. And in the background, you probably hear what Spud calls the worst WrestleMania theme ever. I think that should be one of our, what do we call that again? Great debate. Worst day. We'll talk about the worst WrestleMania theme. This is a great debate. There you go. No,
we do have the next great debate all ready to go.
Oh, yeah, what is our next great debate going to be, by the way?
Best entrance.
Best ring entrance ever, okay? Yeah, we're going to be talking about guys like Warrior and Mr. Perfect and, you got to put the masterpiece in there.
I don't know if you put the masterpiece in there.
Edge's original entrance when he came through the crowd.
That I would put in there. Undertaker's had some of the best entrances ever.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You've got to put, like, three. He's had, like, five different entrances.
This isn't specific entrances. This isn't, like, you know, Undertaker at WrestleMania 14 versus Ultimate Warrior at WrestleMania 6. No. This is overall, you know.
And he's had, like, four different ones all together.
But, you know, I would take Sandman's entrance over Edge's.
Well, Sandman was the originator of the coming through the crowd.
I love Sandman's entrance.
Yeah. Oh, so I'm in a treat here. This is good. Sorry about interrupting. I'm just taking a little quick look at, I've got the TV on with the sound turned down, and it turns out they're doing a James Bond marathon, so.
I'm trying to get the UFC pay-per-view to load on the stream that I bought from the US. I bought it from UFC. I bought the legal pay-per-view. I bought it.
I wanted to make sure that you weren't doing anything hinky.
I bought it legally, and it's not loading. It's not working properly.
We're going to continue on talking WrestleMania 26 here, everybody. We're going to give you a chance to talk about it, too. We want to hear what your thoughts and your predictions and what you're hoping to see, what you're expecting to see, pretty much anything you want to sound off about. We're opening up the phone lines as of right now. You want to call in? Call the following toll-free number, 888-357-9876, push option 1. You don't even need to listen to the menu because it takes so long to get there. Just dial the number, and as soon as you hear the music, push option number 1. And you'll get onto the show. If you got Skype, just add Sir Rockin' to your Skype, and you can call us Skype to Skype that way. So, once again, phone line's open now. You want to call in? Then call in. Any old time. Don't wait for your cue. Don't wait for any cue. If you got something to say, we want you to say it. We'll bring you on immediately. None of this, okay, you called in. Now we're going to make you wait for 20 minutes before we say, hi, how are you? No, we'll bring you on immediately. Isn't that right, Spud? Isn't that how we roll, guys?
We try to.
We do try. We don't have to try very hard.
Anyway.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the way it happens. And I don't know. I'm just thinking about snapping into a Slim Jim here as we continue on. I figure if we say stuff like that enough, we might actually get some
sponsorship money. What do you think?
It's quite possible. By the way, I can't believe Butler is in the Final Four.
You can't believe Butler's in the Final Four?
Butler beat Kansas State, and West Virginia beat Kentucky.
Hey, what can you do, right?
My bracket was fucked last weekend when Kansas lost, so.
Yeah, well, all I can say is screw Michigan.
Yeah, fuck Kansas. You know, do we have anything to give away, by the way? Just wondering.
Not at this time. Thank you very much. Leave my shit alone.
You know, I was going to ask some WrestleMania trivia if they called in.
Well, we got no swag right now.
Nothing?
And if we had swag, we'd have no way of getting it there.
We don't even have like a coaster from your house to give to them or something?
No, they could win my cat. It's probably not the pussy somebody like Tony wants to win, but it's probably the only kind of pussy he'll ever get to play with.
I don't think anybody wants your cat, Tim.
Well, there you go.
Just saying. Anyway, out there.
Anyway, no more March Madness, no more talk about pussy, unless it's the real deal. Let's get back to talking WrestleMania.
You know, here's the one match I'm really looking forward to, because it's the most competitors they've ever had in this match. The total of 10.
10 men clusterfuck.
And that's the Money in the Bank ladder match, which is more than likely going to open up the show.
I got to interrupt you. Okay, you guys, you wanted a control for the show. Well, our industrious producer tracked him down and forced him off the other podcast. He's joined us now, the one, the only Omega. How you doing?
Hey, guys, sorry about that, but generally when you're on a podcast that starts at 7:45, you don't expect it to take 4 fucking hours.
That's because your podcast is full of fails?
Apparently so.
Well, what, were you being interviewed, or were you a guest host, or a co-host, or what?
I was a guest host, and I saw it as a very strong opportunity to promote my other little projects that I have on the side.
Well, why don't you just say to the guys, okay, gotta go, let's end the show?
Well, I wasn't in control of the show. You know, I wasn't controlling the pace. I was there to participate, not to lead.
Okay, well, I still would have said I'm fucking off to you, but I can understand. You like them more than you like us.
Omega's the consummate professional.
Omega's awesome. He really is. I mean, if you're into geek, check out Omega TV. Can I
very
say that?
Very good. Very good butchering that one, Tim.
I was just going to say, can I say that without offending or fucking it up?
No, it's 4 letters. You got 4 letters wrong, sir.
Oh, okay.
It's TJTV, available on tjomega.blogspot.com for all you fans of old cartoons, and really have some horrific memories of them. There, I'm done. Wrestling now?
Yeah, now we're into wrestling. We talked a little bit Shawn Michaels Undertaker. We talked a little John Batista, Dave Cena.
Glad I didn't miss anything good, then.
Okay, nobody. They just let that go. I can't believe it, you guys. Okay, now we're up to the clusterfuck.
Oh, Money in the Bank.
There you go. You see, I had to say, hey, everybody, are you ready for the clusterfuck? Oh, Money in the Bank's on. 6 people is a perfect number for Money in the Bank. Why have they got 10?
I don't know, but I'm looking forward to it.
Mace, why have they got 10?
Because they decided that they couldn't get so many mid-carders to do other things. Even though you've got, like, don't you have the Intercontinental Champion in this thing?
Yeah, even the IC Champion is in the clusterfuck, as opposed to actually having a match at WrestleMania defending one of the most prestigious titles in the business.
Yeah, I'm looking at the match preview on WWE.com at the moment, and, yeah, he's hidden behind Matt Hardy, of all people.
First of all, why the fuck is Matt Hardy in this?
Because they can't let him out of his contract.
Because Hardy, the name Hardy is there and the ladder is involved. It's a contractual obligation.
Anytime there's a ladder involved, the Hardy must be at least in the same building.
And here, you know, I'm looking forward to it because Kane's in there. And what are the odds that Kane is going to put somebody through a ladder this year?
Oh, come on. We all know we want to see Kane do a 450 off the 20-foot ladder.
I would be amazed. You know what? I just want to see Kane get to the middle of a ladder and do a jumping clothesline off, and I will mark out that.
Hey, listen, if anybody could pull it off, it would be Kane. Let's face it.
Yeah, well, Kane, well, if you make that ladder tall enough, and he can just somersault off of it, and he'll get 450 eventually.
Kane, well, why don't you just stick Kali in there, and Kane can actually do the 450 clothesline onto Kali off the top of the ladder.
You know, Kane has sort of gotten this mystique about him over the past couple of years. One, because he has had several opportunities to advance in the company and you know, be a main event guy, and he likes his life. You know, he likes being home, and he likes the way it is. But
yeah,
Kane is,
that his kids see no evil.
And he, you know, he's gotten this sort of mystique about him, almost of Chuck Norris type proportion.
I think we should change his name from Kane to Monster Jobber.
I really want to come up with like a Chuck Norris type comparison for Kane.
Oh.
Like that is my goal, is to have, instead of, you know, Chuck, you know, behind Chuck Norris's beard, there's only another fist. I want to do those sorts of things for Kane. And then print one of them on a T-shirt.
Yeah.
And see how much ground that could make with wrestling fans.
See how much ground you could cover with that. See if you can get how far you can get before you get sued by the WWE.
I don't think you can sue over that, to be honest.
Well, yeah, because they own the trademark for Kane. And if you put it on a T-shirt,
it's
copyright.
Parody, it'd be a gray area.
It's a parody. It's completely legal.
Then you got to do what they do with Chuck Norris' site and make it into a website. Then you can get away with it because you're not selling or profiting from Vince McMahon's creation. And you know Vince would come after you if you started making merchandise.
Probably.
I mean, Chuck Norris went after these guys when they started making money.
No, he didn't.
Actually, yeah, he did.
Chuck Norris thought it was absolutely hilarious. Chuck Norris sued... Chuck Norris sued over the, they used something, they went to him and said, we want to use this certain picture, and he told them no, because I think it was one of the ones from the Bruce Lee movie that he was in.
Yeah.
And he told them no, and they used it anyway, and he sued over that.
Well, no, there's a little bit more to it. Now, I just read about it like 3 nights ago.
Anyway.
Let's get back to wrestling.
Indeed.
Yeah, okay, clusterfuck match number one. Let's call it clusterfuck match number one. Money in the Bank. What do you expect from this besides a lot of high spots, a lot of trouble, a lot of confusion, and a couple of broken bones?
Shelton Benjamin to blow the best spot of the night.
Well, that's a gimmick.
He usually does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to
see half the crowd walk out and go to the toilet.
Okay, this is going to be bathroom break number one. WrestleMania, don't forget, it starts at 7 o'clock Eastern tomorrow night as opposed to, is it 7 o'clock Eastern tomorrow?
Yes.
Yeah, so as opposed to 8 o'clock for the normal pay-per-views Eastern. So it's a 3-hour and 45-minute show.
I'm looking at the field now, and I don't know why the IC belt is in here. Adamantly against putting any champion in this match, even if you could be argued that the mid-card champions deserve to be in it the most. Drew McIntyre's got no business in this match. Dolph Ziggler's got no business in this match. Jack Swagger's got no business in this match.
Yep. Oh, I like Jack Swagger in that match. I expect to see Christian win.
Christian's the only one that it could almost have been Kofi if they did something after his feud with Orton, but they squandered him. So
they kind of sort of dropped the ball on that one.
Yeah.
I think that I could see Christian winning, and I think it was Tony in our chat room earlier called it and said Christian was going to win and then cash in after Edge and Jericho. No.
Oh.
I think they're gonna let Edge and Christian stew a while before they give us a payoff on that one.
Oh, that won't happen for at least a year. And as a matter of fact, I will make the prediction right now that Edge Christian will not be a match until WrestleMania 27. Okay?
It's quite possible.
And
that
I'll,
will be one of the co-main events for Mania 27. Okay, so is everybody figuring that Christian's going to wind up winning this?
Yeah. And no matter who wins, I'm predicting Christian, but no matter who wins, I do not. This is going to be the first Money in the Bank that does not produce a new champion.
Really?
I honestly do. Even just the way that, you know, I mean, I know the bookers love Christian, but Vince has final say, and Vince has never been strong on Christian. I don't think that anyone in this match is going to be a champion as a result of it.
You know, I have a hard time believing that 100%. I mean, you thought and you think about it. If we can talk about the wrestler who shall never be mentioned,
Shelton Benjamin?
No, Chris Benoit.
Ah.
Okay. Now, right before the tragedy happened, he was slated to become champion in ECW. He was not put on ECW as a punishment. He was being put there as a mentor, guider for the younger guys in ECW. Right? Okay. Christian comes back from TNA, and he's shuffled off into the corner, but he works his ass off. Next thing you know, he's ECW champion. Now, if Vince wasn't high on Christian, Christian would not hold something that could be considered a main title. And whether or not you agree with the WWECW, which I don't, you cannot say that the ECW heavyweight title was not a main title. It might have been a minor, you know, a smaller main title, but it was still considered a main title. And so as far as that goes, I'll get into my ranting a little bit more. But right now we got a caller on the line. Caller, who's this and where are you calling from?
Scott from New York. I'm one of the producers for OWW Radio, where legends and fans come together.
How's it going, guys? That reminds me. I just want to say, seeing as we got you on here, you reminded me of Online World of Wrestling, www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. I want to say a big fat thanks to Brad Dykens for posting our WrestleMania preview write-up on OWW.com. So thank you very much. What's happening? What's shaking tonight, Scott?
Not much. Just I caught the show late, but I'm here now, checking it out.
Hey,
I was going to watch the Hall of Fame, but it's boring as hell right now.
Hey, Scott.
I don't care about Bob Uecker, and I'm not too familiar with Gorgeous George, unfortunately, so the show's not doing much. Really waiting to see just DiBiase and Hart.
Scott, I have a question for you.
Have fun.
Yankees or Mets?
Yankees.
Get the fuck off the air.
Don't
bite me.
Scott, that's Spud. You might remember him from the Wrestlelicious Ambush.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was a lot of fun. Yeah, it was really funny.
I shouldn't say that. I should be impartial, but fuck it. It was fun.
No, fuck it. It was fun. And, poor Spud. That Sunday night, I was telling him about the fallout to that Ambush interview. And the first words out of his mouth is, fuck, who do I have to apologize to again now?
Yeah, who do I have to apologize to now?
And I was like, no, man, no, this is all good. So, kind of funny.
I enjoyed that interview a lot. I listened to it again because I had to do the write-up for the show, and it was just, I couldn't help but love it. It was just great. It was good.
Oh, no. Damn good. That's for damn sure. So, what did you catch her talking about so far tonight? Scott?
I really caught on just now with the clusterfuck.
Okay. Well, thing is, you just caught on with clusterfuck. Tell us your thoughts about what do you think, what do you expect to see in this match?
A train wreck. Plain and simple. Nothing good's going to come from it. I heard someone say no one's going to win the title from this Money in the Bank. I think that's what was said. They don't think they're going to win when they catch him.
Yeah,
I completely agree. I said the same thing on OWW Radio on Tuesday 9 for anyone who's listening. And I just don't think, it's just, to me, anyone who's in it, it just doesn't feel like they're main event material right now. And as much as I like Christian, I don't see him getting the belt anytime soon. Kofi is probably one feud away from being in the main event, if they ever give it to him. Because after the Orton thing, he disappeared.
Well, if we could ever get
anyone else in there is a Mid Carter.
Well, everyone else in there is a Mid Carter. The only
yeah,
two,
but I mean a blatant, obvious Mid Carter. Yeah, like, oh, he's on the cusp. No, none of them are on the cusp.
No, there's like this is a money in the bank of potential. You know, there's potential in a Shelton Benjamin. There's potential in an MVP and a Kofi Kingston. There's an enormous potential in Christian, but none of them. I mean, much as I love Christian, even he does not have the build-up or the momentum, or even right now, I'd say the credibility to hold a championship in the WWE, at least a top championship.
Mm-hmm.
And they need a lot of work after they won the Money in the Bank in order to convince me.
Well, here's my theory about the whole thing, okay? And this ties in with what we were talking about near the top of the show with the WWE title match, okay? Christian wins, and he holds on to that maybe for a couple of months. And Batista is still champion after tomorrow night is over and done with. Somehow, some way, John Cena's Superman winds up with having to deal with Batista's kryptonite. Batista retains the belt. Hey, what's that?
One can hope, right?
One can hope. Anyway, this is my prediction. This is what I'm saying is going to happen tomorrow night, Scott. Batista retains the belt. Then we see Christian win Money in the Bank. Okay, John Cena out of the picture because well he's got to take time off after WrestleMania for an operation on a shoulder or something like that. I heard, but Christian, as we know, is a member of the Raw roster ever since ECW folded. And they're trying to figure out what to do with him. They are finally admitting that, okay, he's got something going on. He's hella over with the fans, okay? Christian is going after Batista. And that is his target when he wins Money in the Bank. Not the winner of the World Heavyweight Championship on the SmackDown brand. But he's going to go after the WWE champion.
I can't see Christian headlining Raw every week though. As popular as he is, I still don't see him as a main eventer, and I want to see him as a main eventer because I'm a big fan. But
well,
I just don't think he's there yet.
Here's his chance to get that push. I mean, you're not going to be a main eventer until you main event, right? You got to get in there at some point in time, somehow. Edge did it. Nobody thought he'd be a main eventer until he was pushed as the main eventer.
That's true.
Right? And I don't know how many people I spoke to say, oh, Edge will never be in the main event. He'll never be a champion. Yada, yada, yada. He's not big enough. He's not one of Vince's favorites. He's too reckless. He's too much, you know, this, that, and the other goddamn thing.
Dude's injury prone, and he's still got a job, though, unlike another injury prone wrestler we all talk about.
You know? So that's my prediction. If you guys want to dispute it, feel free.
Hey, you know how I feel. I just don't think he's going to be getting that push.
Yeah.
I know there was a rumor of some Scottish fellow winning the match. I don't see that happening either. I don't.
Drew McIntyre.
Yeah. God, that guy's boring. Am I the only one who thinks that?
Drew McIntyre just doesn't float my boat.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
He doesn't do it.
Drew, who, he does something? Does he wrestle? I don't know.
He goes out there and says, Vince McMahon chose me, and then proceeds to put on a boring match.
And loses, and then tells Teddy, no, strike that from the record, because I talked to Vince, and he says, no, strike it from the record.
Man, if he doesn't win Money in the Bank, does that count as a loss on his record?
Probably by the time Friday Night SmackDown rolls around, it will have been expunged from his record.
Yeah, WWE tends to ignore anything that isn't one-on-one when it comes to perfect records.
I see that happen in a lot of wrestling in general, though. So, I don't really consider it as a factor in the storyline anymore, or development of the character.
That's kind of like your stats in the regular season as opposed to your playoff stats. Your all-time stats never include your playoff stats in any sport. I mean, it's always separate from your regular stats.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's, you know,
Understandable, I suppose. But, yeah, you got anything else to add, Scott?
Listen to OWW Radio every Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern.
Right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network with your host, Nick Anthony and Alan Wojcik.
You sounded very depressed when you said Nixon's name.
No, I was trying to be the, like the founder that he has.
Mm.
You know, like Nick Anthony. You know, like the guy that does the monster truck rally.
Oh, geez, yeah. Yeah, now I know what you're talking about.
Now you know what I'm talking about.
All right.
Hey, hey Scott, I just have two things to add.
Mm-hmm.
One, fuck the Yankees. And two, does this sound like us hanging up on you?
That's mean.
You like
That's
doing that
mean.
Too much.
Oh, you just like doing that too much. You're only supposed to do that to annoying people like Tony and Swax.
I did it to him because he's a Yankees fan. And, you know, Scott, it's all in fun. It really is all in fun.
Oh, yeah, no, I know. Scott's probably been warned about our sense of humor by now. Y'all be fuckers, he says.
It was all in fun, dude. It really was.
Don't worry. I don't like the Yankees either, but I wouldn't hang up on you, only because I'm not in control of the switchboard. Anyway, we got a little bit more to talk about right on the other side of our next break. Everybody, listen to WTR Saturday Night Special. Ooh, came up with another one. Right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And as we go out, one more Tim Truism. Shane McMahon is a silver spoon sucker. Booker T is a stupid-ass motherfucker. We'll be back right after this.
Lost every time just to prove you. And if I get knocked out, my pride is all I got left to break my fall. I'm getting ready for the fight of my life. Nothing to lose. I've got everything to prove. Cut me up, put my life on the line. Cause I've got nothing to hide. Cut me up, put my life on the line.
This is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Anyway, with that being said, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. You know,
wait, hold on. Let me.
Why do you always just end it, goddammit? You are the producer, goddammit. You do not the host of the show. Will is the producer. With the Trump Ralph Park.
Why do you think Rob to come back? And now you're not even going to let him have the outro?
Okay, come on. I dressed up for this show. God damn it. You know how hard it is to find a wife beater in my size? For William Anthony McConnell. And for, unfortunately, the lone jobber. And for the lone producer who doesn't do really much. I am your host with the most host, the godfather of extreme, Big. Well. I insulted myself real bad. Wow. All right, when everyone was listening to that, forget about the next one. Forget. Wow. God damn it, jobber.
What I do?
Right. I'm Rob Buzz, your godfather of three, for whoever the hell Big Daddy Steve was.
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, live, midnight Eastern Time, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere.
the WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indies, yeah. All this and more can be found on one site. With EuroSet, whenever they wrestle, head on over to www.online.wrestling.com. News, news, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best known internet wrestling stars today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage, Bart
Sterry,
Janice Michelle,
Christy Hemme,
Jay Lethal, Brett the Hitman Hart,
The Sergeant Slaughter,
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man,
Paul Hogan, the quickest of all time,
Jimmy Van the Booger Wiggleman,
and some more.
Peter Wilson,
Natty Neidhart,
Harry Smith,
Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site that throws you online world of wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
This is Lacey Von Erich. You're listening to the network, Tim Steinbilt, Wild Talk Radio.
The best there ever will be.
Right, the Hitman Hart in action one last time. WrestleMania 26 taking on the Boss, Vince McMahon.
We're going to spend a little bit of time looking at this guy.
We only got 12 minutes, so.
Well, I don't know. If CB Radio was delayed a little bit because we're talking wrestling, guess what they're going to be doing on CB Radio? Talking a little more wrestling.
Well, you know, Cindy Sin's going to come in here.
Oh, I was going to say starting on time.
No. Cindy Sin is not available. Cindy Sin is not available for CB Radio tonight. So, I don't know. It's Rock is basically, it's the Rock Man, the Rock Hound, by himself.
Let's bring CB Radio into this and we'll just go longer.
And this is what I'm saying. We could just basically merge the shows, and Wrestle Talk Radio can invade all the Wild Talk Radio programming, starting with CB Radio. Next week, Wrestle Talk Radio will invade Running the Ropes and make that show listenable.
Or at least we can make that show listenable.
I don't think anything can make that show listenable. Are you kidding?
Hey, I proved that I'm a ratings draw. I actually brought listeners to his show last week.
What'd you do, increase the listeners by two?
No, I called up and I told seven people about it.
Oh, so his listenership went from 3 to 10. Impressive.
No, from 1 to 10. So I'm a bit of a big deal. I brought, you know, I increased his number. I mean, if you look at that, I mean, if TNA had a ratings jump like that, they'd be at 5.4.
That's 700%.
I mean, come on.
anyway. Rock, take your mute off your mic and get in on this.
Well, no, it's not midnight yet. Of course, midnight we can start talking about absolutely anything, not just wrestling, guys.
You know, here's one of the. Oh, I got one question for Rock. Rock, is Winamp up and running?
Yeah. Okay, that's all I need to know. Thank you very much. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
You know. Almost 13 years ago, there was a little incident that happened in Montreal that nobody remembers.
Nobody remembers, except every time somebody in the WWE brings it up and then blames Brett for putting it back in the spotlight.
Go ahead. Anyway, it conveniently changed the way wrestling was perceived at that point. And it did a lot for wrestling.
But, you know, there's been all this talk over the last 13 years that whole screw job was a work the whole time. And that Vince and Brett both knew what they were doing, and both of them played it perfectly. And I have to say, if it was a work, kudos to them to being able to carry that for 13 years without letting anything slip, because that's fantastic.
Okay, well, if you talk to Teddy Hart will tell you that it was a work, and it was meant to be a big work. And Brett was supposed to go to WCW for a couple of years and then come back to the WWE. And that didn't happen because Owen died, and, of course, you know, Brett had his concussion. But bullshit, not a fucking work. Anyway,
I know, but if it was a work, congratulations to both of them. And you were about to give us a payoff that a lot of wrestling fans have been waiting for almost 13 years. My only problem with it is that you've done a shitty job over the past 2 months of building up something that could have been fucking epic.
Yeah, well, you know, shit happens, right?
I guess.
Yeah. Shit happens. But when you stop and you think about it, with Vince's mentality for at least 10 fucking years, he hasn't had to try, right?
No, he has not had to try.
Okay, and what has happened in the last couple of months?
Well, one, he's actually had to try.
That's TNA Wrestling goes live head-to-head, and I don't give a fuck what you say, even if it's only 20,000, 30,000 people. Some WWE viewers have been paying more attention to TNA, okay? Now, I'm not saying it's enough to make any kind of a difference or anything like that, because let's face it, it hasn't made a dent yet. But at the same time, Vince has had to go up against, you know, NCAA. I can't understand this, but Dancing with the Stars, when they debuted, had a 15.6 rating, right? It was monster. Right.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. Right.
Now, here's the thing. You got all of these smart-ass smarks on the internet. Oh, come on, you can't tell me that WWE's rating dropped so fucking low because all these wrestling fans are watching Dancing with the Stars. No, I'll tell you exactly what the fuck happened. All of their wives and girlfriends are saying, go fucking do the dishes. I'm watching Dancing with the Stars. Fuck you. You can catch wrestling tomorrow. TiVo it. Boom. That's exactly what happened and where the drop in viewership live on Raw took place. Tell me I'm wrong, Omega. I heard you chuckling.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. I'm just wondering how many of those men actually stuck around when they saw Stacy Keibler was there.
There's that, too. But who else was on there?
You're asking me to remember that show?
I'll give you a hint. Stripperella.
That Pam Anderson was on it this year.
Pamela Anderson. And apparently the hit of the show was that fucking pink dress of hers. And I have to admit, you know, for a 43-year-old broad, she's got some nice legs and beautiful, pretty, fake titties. She's always had that.
I was going to say, you're mentioning the legs first?
Well, the titties aren't real, but the legs are. You see how
and
it works?
My eyes don't care.
Yeah, well, no, your eyes don't see. That's one thing I could never understand with all the girls I've dated. Catching me staring at a pair of nice tits in the bars when we go for a drink. That's a take, you know. I'm like, so? I don't fucking care. You know, you don't see the silicone. Okay, that's on the inside. Right? I mean, if you thought about it, if you figured out what a breast was really made out of, would you drool over it as much as we do as heterosexual men? Or homosexual women?
No, probably not. I try not to think of it.
Okay, I'm in favor of homosexual women.
Oh, yeah.
Or at least bisexual, you know. Bisexual women, I think, are the best. As long as they're into sharing, because that's kind of important.
Can we get back to WrestleMania?
Please?
Oh,
We're tormenting and we're torturing and tormenting Spud.
I'll tell you a story sometime about bisexual women, but that's for CB radio in about 4 minutes.
God damn it. You gotta sit there with a Woody now and your wife's upstairs and can't do anything about it? Oh, no. No, no. She's already told me that she's getting hers tonight. Or what the fuck you're doing, she's getting hers. So when is she going out? She's made it abundantly clear that after we get off the air, she's getting hers. So
he just totally missed it.
No, no. I was just ignoring you.
No. tonight's Spug is Dick on Demand.
Pretty much. Spug is Dick on Demand. Okay.
But for now, he's a dick here with us.
Right. Wow. I don't know. But all of the problems that my ex and I had, she would always call it Richard. She said it was too big to be called Dick. I don't understand.
Hey, I know way too much about you.
Especially now, probably. But quit talking about my generals, Omega. We're talking professional wrestling.
I'm sorry I was talking about your genitals. It was just a very small topic. Let's move on.
Oh, have you got a short time to hear about this one? Ba-dum-bum. Yeah, thanks a lot, you little prick. I think that's what he was alluding to, anyways. So where were we?
Bret Hart.
Well, speaking about little pricks, we're talking about Bret Hart and Vince McMahon. Did I say that out loud? What are you guys expecting to see in the street fight? I'm expecting
the worst wrestling we've seen in God knows how long.
You don't expect to see wrestling.
I'm expecting to see
Bret Hart go over, of course. Okay. Is it going to be a surprise to anybody? Omega, you had something you were going to say?
The only thing I can really foresee in this match is it's going to be one-sided the whole time because they can't do too many spots with Bret. He's going to get clipped in the legs a few times. Vince is going to strut around like he just won the lottery, and then he's going to get his skull caved in.
Well, that's pretty safe to predict, I think. Yeah, let's face it. They're not going in to wrestle. Bret can't really do a hell of a lot anymore. Are you expecting to see the pink and black attack?
Not really.
If
he throws the tights at him.
Yeah, if he throws the tights, then you see it. Go ahead, Spug.
We got into this argument. I mean, there's a knocked-out, drag-out fight a few months ago in January when we started talking about, you know, the new Hart Foundation and how the smart thing to do was to put Bret in a program with him and all of that leading up to WrestleMania, and I told you, no, it won't happen. And I'm right yet again. It didn't happen at all.
What didn't happen?
They weren't in a program together.
Uh-huh.
But to protect Uncle Bret and to put some finality on this match and to make sure that it can live up to the hype, I wouldn't be surprised if the New Heart Foundation doesn't show up tomorrow night.
This, you're talking the New Heart Foundation. You mean the Heart Dynasty?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, off air in the pre-production chat before everybody else got plugged in, Rock and I were talking about this exact thing. Do you expect to see the Heart Dynasty, Omega?
You know, I've seen so little of them lately, and none of them are booked for WrestleMania. I really, really don't know here. I have not seen any hint or evidence or anything that would tell me, yeah, we're gonna see them. And if we do, I can't see him going with Bret, because then you're just going to humanize Vince in the process.
Mace?
What?
Heart Dynasty.
Your turn.
Sorry, I've been watching the Hall of Fame.
Oh, you didn't mean to interrupt your Hall of Fame, but we're doing a little thing here we call a webcast. You're supposed to be part of it.
Like I've had a chance. I've been bugging Tim's talk sessions most of the night.
I'm sorry! I keep trying to get you involved, dude! But Bug just never shuts the fuck up. So anyway, Heart Dynasty, yes or no? Involvement in the street fight?
I'm going to go with no, but I see them coming out and celebrating with Brett after the match is over.
I agree with you on that one. That's all I can see happening. All right? I don't see the Hart Dynasty being involved in the match itself. Now, here's the thing. The entire Hart family, minus Martha, because she's got such a fucking Jones against Vince and WWE because of Owen, so bad that it's going to be at least another decade before we see Owen inducted into the Hall of Fame posthumously. But I said the interference is going to come from Bruce Hart. Brett's brother, Bruce Hart.
Huh.
You see how you can see us all just going with this little theory here.
Yeah. Okay. I'm puzzled. I'm like, huh. Okay. Think back to the pay per view that WWF had in Calgary, the Calgary Stampede. In your house pay-per-view when it was Hearts versus somebody else, when it was Hearts, and I think they were taking on DX, or they were taking, it was Stone Cold Steve Austin's matter. No, it was Brett versus Stone Cold. All the Hearts were at ringside, though. All the brothers. All the Hearts were at ringside. Stu was there, and it's on the documentary, Wrestling with Shadows. Brett talking with Stone Cold Steve Austin says, yeah, and then what we'll do is we'll have, and we're talking Bruce here, he can throw his drink on Stone Cold. Stone Cold will turn around and think it's Stu and go after Stu, and Stu will get a big kick out of it and think it's great. Now, do you remember that?
I do remember that part in the documentary.
Okay, I remember the pay-per-view, right? Bruce is acting like he's like the biggest fucking thing in that match. Okay, Bruce has delusions of grandeur. He never made it in the WWF, WWE, because he was too fucking small. He was a big fish in Stampede Wrestling for his dad, naturally. But he couldn't cut it in WWF, and everybody knows what kind of a hard-on Vince McMahon used to get for the big boys. And Bruce was just way too small at the time. And if you watch carefully, Bruce is just getting into it like he's a big player.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You don't think that Brett is going to say, well, you know, let's throw Bruce another bone. Bruce, do something. Cold cock him, whatever. Take a swing. Do something. Who's going to get involved on from the Hart camp? My candidate most likely is Bruce. It could be.
They could throw a curveball and get Jim the Anvil to waddle his way out there.
There's always that, but an outside chance.
Oh, boy.
The question I have, and here's going to be a puzzler, and everybody, those of you in the chat room, those of you listening around the world wide web on the interwebs, if you've got a thought about this, I want to hear from you too, okay? Vince came out last Monday night after Brett finished his yapping and said, WrestleMania, Brett, you're screwed. What did he mean by that?
I really wouldn't say anything beyond just bringing up old ghosts again. I don't know. I really don't read into a line like that at this point.
Okay. Now, here's the thing. Rock pointed it out that a little while back, WWE reached out to Earl Hebner. You remember that? Well, they fired him because he was selling illegal shirts.
Yeah, yeah, but not too long ago, they reached out to Earl Hebner.
I'm just saying, right?
I hear that.
You stop and you think about it. What did Shawn Michaels say to Vince to convince Vince that Vince should bring Brett as a guest host? What did Shawn Michaels say?
I promise you, only good things will come of it.
Remember that line?
Right, but... Mm.
I don't know, dude. I can't imagine... I think if you try to reassemble the band, so to speak, to steal something from TNA, I think it's just going to end up bad and leave a sour taste in the fans' mouths.
Well, here it is, okay? Shawn Michaels is not going to interfere on Vince's behalf. However, somebody is. There's always Dave Batista. If they do this match before Batista's match with Cena, or even afterwards.
So Batista can go to give Brett a powerbomb and then go, oh shit, I can't make him bump?
Right. And just hold him there for a minute and then, well, you know, Bret Hart punches him in the fucking face.
Well, just remember the fake punches Batista was throwing on Brett, protecting him like crazy when he was doing it. Right? And that one camera angle blatantly showed he had the jacket pulled and he was punching the jacket when he was supposed to be punching him in the head. Right? Has anybody heard any rumors about Shane McMahon in Phoenix, Arizona this weekend?
I would expect him to be there.
You know, by the way, A-Train's there, too. Maybe he'll come out for Vince. As long as we're coming up with conspiracy theories.
Right.
Yeah, okay, there's a conspiracy theory. How about Jericho comes out? There's your conspiracy theory. Okay, Vince has got something planned.
Oh, I absolutely think he's got something planned.
Somebody's coming out. That's all there is.
I don't know. I mean, if Vince has something planned, then I don't see what the whole point of going through the whole broken leg to trick Vince into this match. I don't see what the whole point of that was. I mean, if this was all planned out, then he would have gone along with it from the get-go to bait Bret Hart into it.
No. This came across to me as Vince got suckered into the match after he said no. Then Brett shows up with a broken leg, and Vince says, oh, you got a broken leg. Well, then let's, you know, take your ass kicking like a man. Fine. Sure enough, as soon as both names are on the contract, that fake cast comes off, and Brett says, you know, we set that all up. I had to make you think that I was fucked up.
Of course, you know, Tony O has a decent point.
If somebody comes up for Vince, what if it's D.H. Smith and Natalya? See, I don't see them turning against Uncle Brett. I really don't.
I can see that they've been. Either.
See, I don't know. They've been played as heels for so long, you know, since they came to WWE. I don't see them doing that. If only because it demonizes Brett at what's going to be the tail end of this current WWE run.
It's got to be a heel, like a non-related heel coming out.
By the way, at this juncture, I'd just like to say.
Hi, Will.
Hi.
Oh, hey, Will finally joined us. How you doing, Will?
Some of us have work.
Oh, hey,
don't worry. Don't worry. You weren't the only one late tonight.
Yeah, nah. I showed up an hour late. I'm sorry. I keep apologizing. I hope you forgive me.
Well, I figured y'all would be off the air by now, making way for CB Radio, so I said, fuck it, I'll just watch the rest of the Hall of Fame.
Oh, there you go. No. So as long as you're here, Will, what do you see basically in Vince McMahon's sleeve for his street fighting with Bryce tomorrow night?
Honestly, I don't know. I can't really think of anybody who's already involved in a WrestleMania match doing it, and I can't think of a name big enough to matter to do it that isn't already signed with WWE. I mean, because they've got all their big players already booked, and really, no one's going to give a shit if some mid-carder jumps Bret Hart for Vince McMahon. It's just going to go, oh, well, he's going to get his ass kicked. Oh, well, that was a waste of a run-in.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if it's anybody, it's either going to be an older guy who, you know, in storyline still has beef with Bret Hart, or it's going to be some guy we've not seen in a while, something like that.
Well, who have we not seen in a while that had a quote-unquote beef with Bret?
What about the Anvil?
Oh, God, hang on, I've got the list somewhere. I was using it as a carpet before.
Is it wrong of me to think Goldberg?
Well, you know, Goldberg is in negotiations with WWE. He's admitted it.
Then again, that demonizes Goldberg.
No, seriously, what about Jim the Anvil? Well, you know, that makes...
Did you see him on TNA a few months ago, Suggs?
Yeah, it's not like he can make
himself to the ring.
It's not like he can make a surprise run-in. You know, people would see him coming and take him 5 minutes to get to the ring.
Even the Iron Sheik's telling him he's walking slow.
I'm serious, though. I mean, Jim the Anvil Neidhart is not... If they were going to do any type of run-in, I could see Jim the Anvil Neidhart. Well, no, it kind of still makes sense. And here's the reasoning for that, okay? As a tag team, they were great. Then they get split up, and Bret goes to superstardom. And Anvil, what does he become? A glorified upper-level jobber.
Jobber to the stars.
Jobber to the stars, exactly. So what happens here? We're talking, you know, hey, you know, you got all this stuff, and I'm really good, and I should have had this stuff, and you got it instead. You know, it's the old jealousy angle.
Maybe it'll be Marty Jannetty.
I was just thinking that. Is somebody going to say Marty Jannetty?
That'd be the strong market.
If he can get to Arizona on parole.
Yeah, I don't know if he can cross state lines.
Didn't he get special permission last time?
Yeah, if he gets permission, he can. Yeah. But don't you think we would have heard rumblings from somebody who said, oh, just thought I'd write in and say I saw Marty Jannetty try to get it on an airplane in Florida.
Yeah, his ankle cuff went off.
Yeah, there you go. what about Weave Cassidy? Al Snow.
Oh,
Al Snow. As
the Patriot.
You know, the new Rockers. There you go.
We're going to see the return of the Patriot at WrestleMania.
Yeah, the Patriot. There's a gimmick that I could do without. Not a shot against the United States in there. So I hated that gimmick, but that was terrible. That was a little...
You can always get Rowdy Roddy Piper.
What was that, sorry?
Get Piper.
Well, here's the thing, right? I think that of all of the candidates we've mentioned, he's probably the most viable. Piper and Hart have had their wars, too. Yeah, they're cousins. Are
they? Had that huge IC title match at WrestleMania years ago.
Yeah, I was unaware that they were related. Oh, yeah. Rowdy Roddy Piper, real name Roderick Toombs, born in Winnipeg, Manitoba, is actually a distant cousin to the Hart clan, the immediate Hart clan. Nice.
WrestleMania 8 that they had that match?
Yes.
And the interview Piper gave that night, he actually said that they were distant cousins or something.
Yep. And
if you go back and actually watch the show, he admits it.
Yeah, Roddy actually had a lot of training in the Hart Dungeon.
Yeah, that's like, probably 25% of the wrestling industry, or at least WWE, has training in the Hot Dungeon.
No, you were right the first time. 25% of the wrestling industry has had training in the Hot Dungeon. So.
Oh, jeez.
No, we had this conversation earlier.
Yeah, well, Mickey, you missed it. It was a good conversation.
Well, actually, no, I actually was not referring to that.
Oh, what were you referring to?
Just this really bad thought in my head, and something that WWE would do in a heartbeat if they actually thought of it, but I'm thinking the only one with history with both Bret Hart and Vince McMahon would have been Austin. I could have seen some, like, deal with the devil thing go down, but Austin just having no part of it.
That sort of gets blown out of the water by you have a look at when Austin was host, and he actually said, okay, I respect Bret Hart, and he kicked my ass at WrestleMania, props to him, yeah.
Now, you know, never stop someone from going heel.
That
still fits you.
You know, no, that's still a good setup. That is still a good setup. Austin is going to be there. He's not doing much of anything. He just recently came out and spoke praise of Bret Hart. Bret Hart kicked his ass a couple of times, you know. And it's a, you know, as a work, injured Steve Austin, right?
You do know that Austin's not going to be there, right? He's going to be in New York and in Seattle, and we'll watch it later.
I'm just saying it's a possibility.
Well, he's already said he's not going to be at Mania.
Yeah, but still.
I'm just trying to...
It's a better idea than WWE's probably got.
It wouldn't be the first time that you heard, no, I'm not going to be there, but he shows up.
All right.
Speaking of people rocking up at Mania, have we heard anything on Jim Ross?
He's not going to do it.
Yeah, Jim Ross
that
will be
sucks.
In WrestleMania as a spectator this year. JR, that's fully recovered enough to get back onto the announce table.
He still would sound better than half of the announcers we have right now.
And see, while it's a shame JR won't be there, we all know they'd bump Stryker for JR to sit in. And that would just leave, again, just one guy carrying two people we don't care for.
There you go, yeah. And, you know, JR needs to be worked back in, I think, before he has to carry everybody again.
What are you talking about two people we don't care for?
If you bump Stryker, that leaves you Cole and King, and I'd much rather have JR with King.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, we still got to deal with Cole.
And Cole and King, just Cole and King, there's no chemistry there, really.
No, because Cole is the corporate shill, and JR and King both come from an area when wrestling was wrestling. So
is this the event that we're going to be doing the vintage drinking game?
See, the last time we tried that, I was the only one that got drunk, and we all seen what happened when you sober up on air.
Yeah, you wind up being very, very much in pain one way or the other. I'm thinking we've got two vintage matches. Two drinking game matches.
It's vintage Money in the Bank!
No.
Vintage Sheamus.
Not gonna happen. Thank you. I'm gonna take your HBK and Bret Hart and Vince McMahon. I'm going with the over-under being 10. I'll take the over. On Vintage. I'm just saying.
Now, if Bret can't do any spots, I mean, I doubt we'll see, the only Vintage spot that he's going to have with Vince is going to be the Sharpshooter. That is obviously going to end the match.
No turnbuckle figure four.
No drop from the middle rope.
No, guys, as a street fight, you got to remember that Bret still has the skills as a technical wrestler, okay? He still has those technical skills. And he can pull out those things in a street fight, and it wouldn't have to be perfectly applied, and it can still look shitty, but still get over because it's a street fight, and it's supposed to look like catch-as-catch-can, as opposed to a vintage wrestling match. I knew I'd work the word in there somehow. But
I could still see Brett doing the stiff drop from the second rope, you know, and pulling out maybe even the figure four on the turnbuckle.
No, I don't see the turnbuckle figure four.
No, as much as
he can't take a bump, he can still do some of these moves without actually having to throw himself around too much.
Yeah, but I will tell you right now, as a brain injury survivor, there is no way he's going to put himself upside down.
That's how he got one of the several concussions that led to him getting put out of WCW was the figure four on the turnbuckle.
Okay, there's just no way that's going to happen. He will not let himself put himself in that position. Just never mind any damage. It's just a headache that somebody who's suffered such a problem winds up with, and it's an immediate thing. And it's like somebody takes a sledgehammer to your head. I can't do a handstand myself. I mean, I can do it, but I won't do it because it's an immediate explosion of the most exquisite pain you've ever felt. Just
the with Brett and the street fight match. And we're talking about vintage spots, and somebody brought up the sharpshooter, and Antonio said vintage Evan Bourne. I'm going to call it right now, one of the WrestleMania moments, Evan Bourne doing the shooting star press off the ladder tomorrow night.
And headbutting the mat.
Shelton Benjamin and Shelton missing his mark.
Oh, that always happens at WrestleMania.
Shelton always misses his mark, whether he forgets where he's supposed to stand or where he's supposed to land.
Here, Shelton, take this big dive. Oh, you missed.
Shit. Did you land on your head? I hope so. Less damage that way.
Okay, Shelton. Okay, we're going to set up... Okay, we need you to run up this ladder from the outside, bridge over to another ladder, into the ring, up top to the highest ladder we got, and you're going to need to front flip about 6 times in order to crash onto everybody else on the opposite side of the ring. And go, and he trips through the first ladder.
Hey, can we team Shelton Benjamin up with MVP and call them Botchapalooza?
Well, in Shelton's defense, when he does get it right, it looks amazing.
Yeah,
well, yeah, that's why they keep giving him shots at those spots.
One time out of every 5, he actually hits it properly.
Oh, that's why they give him so many spots during Money in the Bank. One of them is bound to go right. Just by law of averages.
Well, isn't that like throwing the everything against the fridge and seeing what sticks?
Yeah, except now we're throwing Shelton into everything and seeing what sticks.
seeing how long it takes him to stick, yeah.
So that's why they increased the number of participants to 10.
Yeah. Number of bodies for him to land on.
Yeah, okay, so now we know why it's such a clusterfuck. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Just we here at the radio have figured it out.
Yeah,
this is like... Go on, Omega.
And so they still have a full match after Shelton botches and injures half the roster.
still have 5 people.
This is what? The biggest ladder match in recent history? I don't know, in history, but...
Yeah, pretty much. But we've decided not to call it the Money in the Bank ladder match. Well, we've dubbed it the Money in the Bank Clusterfuck Number 1.
Oh, I just called it the ladder match.
Okay, are you ready for Clusterfuck Number 2?
What's that one? Wait, hold on. Is it Cena Batista?
No.
No.
Oh.
It's the secretly added 10 Diva tag match.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm really excited for that after they had 6 women standing in the ring on Monday night and only 2 of them actually did any work. Yeah, real excited for that.
How many people watch Friday Night SmackDown?
I'm trying to, but...
I haven't watched it yet. Shut the fuck up. Okay, well, I'm not giving too much away when I talk about this. Go ahead, Omega.
I will admit, with a little bit of WrestleMania anticipation, I did go through the spoilers this week.
Okay.
And I'm glad I did, because, wow. It looked fine on paper, but I can imagine it not looking fine on TV.
Well, I'm just wondering if anybody besides Tony O in the chat room was turned on by seeing Vicky's pink underpants.
That would be what I'm talking about.
Oh. Ew. They are not granny panties. These are panties.
This is PG television. Come on.
Oh, God.
This is exactly why Eric Bischoff called Vince McMahon a hypocrite after Vince tore into TNA and called it tawdry. He's like, what? You're supposed to be PG, yet you have Beth Phoenix rip off Vicky pants so everybody keeps her pink panties on air?
Is this not the dumbest feud in recent history? Not recently on SmackDown at the moment. I mean, we're going right from that shitty... you're fat, so it's fun to make fun of you, angle, into, look, here's a great wrestler versus someone no one wants to see ever.
Have you seen Michelle McCool? They're doing the exact same shit. They have Glam a Man t-shirts now, so the entire feuding on SmackDown Diva roster amounts to grade school name-calling.
Oh, great.
Two feuds in a row.
And ripping off the beautiful people.
Yeah, it is so pathetic. I absolutely hate both women's rosters right now. I mean, watching Raw a couple weeks ago and Eve Torres that couldn't even successfully dropped to her knees, which amazes me considering that's how she got her job in the first place.
The women's division is that one division, much like the tag division, that would actually benefit from only having one belt.
No, because we have to watch Michelle McCool on both shows.
No, if I want to watch women wrestle, I'll turn to Impact.
Well, you can't even do that now, Tim, because, you know, they don't like women's wrestling on Impact.
Yeah.
You're just going to have to watch Wrestlelicious, Tim.
ODB's ugly, so we're going to take the best female wrestler off the roster.
I wish we still have Zombie Hot Daphne.
She's currently in a title shot contention at the moment.
I know, isn't that fantastic?
Yeah.
Now we have Fuse and TNA. I stole your bug.
10 Diva tag match. Yay. Next.
Yeah.
Who cares?
So what's next up?
He's still got 5 more matches to choose from.
The fact that GSP just beat the shit out of fucking Dan Hardy, that's what's up. Oh, come on. Sure, Saint-Pierre, do you expect anything differently?
I do.
Dan Hardy tapped out 3 different times during that match, and the ref missed it all 3 times. Okay, now that's funny. All 3 times. Like, the camera angle is right on it, and you can see Hardy tapping. The ref's looking right at his hand and doesn't call it. The match went all 5 rounds. I was like, really? I want to see GSP in the ring with Brock Lesnar. GSP killing. Why do you think I want to see him in the ring with Brock?
Oh, but anyway. Not some intelligence with Brock.
You know, I think the surprise match of the night is going to be Sheamus and Triple H. Triple H can carry Sheamus without tearing his quad. Either one. Pick.
Oh, come on. The guy doesn't tear his quad that often.
Once every 3 years. His legs are fucked up now, Will. He's been complaining about it for the last, 5 months?
Has he?
Can I just I posted in the LOL production chat the link to the preview for the Triple H Sheamus match. I just want everybody in this little chat, click on that and just look at the picture of Sheamus for about 3 seconds.
No more than three?
Longer if you like. Just have a look at the picture of Sheamus. I'll repost in the chat room for everybody else.
Okay, that picture would make more sense. Wait a second. That picture would make more sense if Triple H was standing behind Sheamus.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to.
I got a hammer up my ass.
It's a sledgehammer. It's Triple H's sledgehammer. I'm not talking about the one he keeps into the ring.
Sorry, I gotta click that off.
I'm right. Okay,
everything about that is
Triple H is standing behind Sheamus.
Hold on, I'll get Photoshop out later. I'll see if I can switch the two around to make it funnier.
That would be kind
That's
of... That's gonna... fucking wait. Welcome to EB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
That's an expression of a gerbil just shot up my ass and I'm passing a kidney stone at the same time.
Did he just grab that? Oh my god, it's a reach around. You know, the look on Sheamus' face, it seriously looks like he's taking a power dump and it got stuck. Like that, oh my god, I just had wasabi poured into my asshole look.
So that's what it looks like, just shit sideways.
Would that be not enough fiber in his diet? I think he had too much Chipotle. Seriously, the look on his face just... either that or he had a really good orgasm. Okay, no, that's the poster child. Okay, that picture is the poster child for advocates against eating too much ciabatta bread.
It's like too much wasabi and too much fire, or too much fiber, and he's just rocketing fire out of his ass.
Oh my god. According to Scott from online OWW Radio, there's no such thing as too much Chipotle. Listen, Scott! Have an episode with the porcelain tuba sometime and then come back and tell us there's no such thing.
Dude, trust me, there is such a thing as too much Chipotle. Oh
yeah.
My god.
And you could also overdose on queso too, trust me. I've done it. I watched Internet Dave do it one night. Of course it was at that point in time coined Oklahoma cheese sauce, which just brought a whole different meaning to it, thanks to Mark the Shark DiCarlo.
You know, the only acceptance that they don't have up yet on WWE.com is Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase. That's it. That's the only one they don't have up yet. Antonio Inoki's up.
It was about half an hour.
Mad Dog Vachon is up. Gorgeous George's is up. Euchre's is up. Wendy Richter's is up. Stu Hart's is up. I want to see him coming out with a damn bell.
What? Somebody bring up another match to talk about.
Tag team titles. Edge Show versus Morrison and R2.
I was actually surprised that SmackDown ended by promoting this match, of all things.
Kind of a strange match to promote.
Your last look at anybody before WrestleMania, and they choose this one-off tag match.
Because they had four shows on, Monday they taped. That's why.
Maybe it'll guarantee this year it'll be on the actual main card and not a pre-show.
That might be nice. Well, Kane isn't in the match, so yeah, we'll actually see it.
Yo, I don't know. Sometimes I wonder. Okay, going over in this one.
Mongrel tag team. It's an excuse to give John Morrison and R-Truth a WrestleMania match without actually putting them in the Money in the Bank, which is a shame because Morrison deserves to be in that match a hell of a lot more than half of those people.
you have a point. So we can safely predict that Show Miz retains.
Yeah, I hate that name. Yeah.
Show Miz.
Show Miz.
Well, it was either Show Miz or Miz Show. Now, which sounds gayer to you?
Both.
Okay, in a worse way.
Ugh.
All right. Hard to pick. Next.
What do we got? The Street Fight or...
Ray versus Punk. You guys
yeah,
get that one?
Punk and that hair versus my cult. Isn't it?
It's there's nothing with hair, it's just if wheels stop moving that, you know, it would be if Ray loses he has to join the Straight Edge Society.
Yeah, what happens if Punk loses?
Nothing.
What does Punk he doesn't lose anything?
Nope.
Well, that's pretty one-fucking-sided.
It's a street fight as well.
What, is it?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't think they made it a street fight because he didn't beat, what's his face, the big guy. Gallows.
Gallows.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm trying to read the write-up on the website and they can't just help.
No, I remember it's a street fight, or, something like No Hold Bar, or whatever.
Extreme Rule! So, who wins, Punk or Ray?
This is a good way to send Ray to go get his knees fixed.
The sad thing that he is going in with busted up knees. Otherwise, this would be a really solid match.
It'd be a really good match. I think it'll still be a pretty damn good match, but it won't be think.
If they avoid the typical Rey Mysterio formula of, oh, you're kicking my ass, here's a flippy move.
Well, Punk is small enough to work well with Rey. That's been Rey's whole problem, is that he's been trying to contend with heavyweights.
Yeah. And Ray works well against the heavyweights, and he does very good in the ring. But, I have always contended that he should never, ever be put in the ring with the big guys, with the big boys. It doesn't make him look better. It makes them look worse.
Yeah, anyone that's more than about 50 pounds heavier than Ray does not need to ever wrestle him.
Yeah. So, that's when he won the world title. They dropped the heavyweight from it.
Yeah, I was watching One Night Stand 2 the other day and realized that.
Yeah. And we were making fun of that, as far back as that.
See, I wouldn't know that because I boycotted SmackDown during that period.
Ah, well, there you go.
Love your boycott.
Geez, we better hope that Cena does lose against Batista tomorrow night, hey?
It's a lose-lose situation in that match. I mean, I'm fucked either way.
You're fucked one way, it doesn't matter which way you go, you're fucked. And not in a good way. I'm just saying.
Is someone watching something?
I had a pop-up joke trying to get rid of it.
Oh, okay.
You're in the background. We all just stopped talking because we were listening to it. I had some pop-up show. I was trying to get rid of it. I'm like,
yep.
I was just looking at naked women and something suddenly popped up. Sorry, I'll get rid of it. No. No.
I was on
WWE.com and one of the Slimsy mats popped up. I'm like, really? Hungry? Come to Slimsy.
I miss those days.
I'm gonna get fucking paid for all the times I've mentioned Slim Jim tonight, man, on this show.
They're not gonna pay you.
Thanks for that, Mitch. But just get back to your producer.
Even if I mentioned,
You could probably mention Marlboro and A&W Cream Soda a lot. I might get some of that for free.
Or Anal-Ease.
You know, why, you got hemorrhoids or something?
No, that's
hey, they broke up the ambiguous ligation Rio. They don't need the Anal-Ease anymore.
That's something Scott mentions in abundance.
Speaking about the ambiguous ligate trio, Randy Orton and Ted DiBiase and Cody Rhodes in a triple threat. Now, what do you think the chances are that Cody and Randy team up to swerve Ted so we finally have Ted as the face? Not Randy, like everybody's saying he shouldn't be a face because he's a better heel.
Well, I think he's still going face.
Yeah, he's going to be a more methodical face, and people are just really behind it right now.
It's weird to see a guy whose gimmick is being a complete asshole getting completely over with the crowd. He's not even the Steve Austin sort of complete asshole. He's the, I'm just a dick and I'm going to shit in your purse asshole.
It's a cold and brooding asshole, which ask anyone who's ever played a Metal Gear game, that goes over quite well.
Solid Snake.
Absolutely. And it stops dead on the geek reference.
Sort of.
Keep going, Omega.
Tonight's at 11 o'clock Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network, also known as Wild Talk Live.
Oh, I'm sorry, Tim. If off the top of my head I could have come up with a Star Trek equivalent, I'm sure you would have jumped in.
Well, it would only be logical.
Oh, oh my God.
Damn you.
Best I could do in short notice. All right, so, guys, overall, WrestleMania, take a look in your predictions. We're going to go around the...
We're missing one match.
Oh, what's the one match that we're missing? I forgot.
The Battle of the Canadians.
Oh, the one that we are expecting to actually steal the show?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Great way for it to steal the show if we can't even bloody remember it.
Jericho. Okay, how many people here, think that Edge is going to be here?
What?
You cut out, Tim. Say it again.
Okay, I didn't know I cut out. Do you think Edge is going to defeat Jericho? Absolutely.
That would be the worst return build-up I've ever seen if he lost.
I think he's going to beat Jericho, but it won't be with a spear. I think he's faking him out the whole time.
Okay. You remember a few years ago when Goldberg was in WWE, there was a program between him and Jericho, and the whole build-up was, will he take the spear or not?
Right.
And Goldberg tried three times before he finally got him in that match. I can't remember the pay-per-view.
I really hope they don't build the match around the spear, because these guys actually have an arsenal of different moves they can actually use in a match.
Oh.
It's not like Triple H.
Well, I guarantee you, we'll see more fake spears than actual attempts. It'll psych him out a few times.
Kind of like HBK when you can't super kick.
Yeah.
And I loved watching that between him and Orton, where they banned the super kick and he still would act like he's throwing it, and Orton would hit his back trying to avoid it.
I remember that was good. That was...
Actually, my favorite super kick psych out was when he put Hogan in the sharpshooter before the SummerSlam they competed. That was in Montreal, too, wasn't it?
Was it?
Yeah, it was the night he was calling out Hogan and Brett, and they kept doing the fake out.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I love that. That was awesome.
You're easily pleased, though.
With what we got now, you gotta be.
Yeah, it has to be. You can't be very critical, but I guarantee you that both WWE and TNA are going to be getting a lot better by degrees each week
as we go along. So
it's a win-win for the fans.
You can only hope, at least.
All right, well, let's wrap this up and get the hell out of here.
For those of us who are getting out of here.
Yes, so why don't we run down each match on the card?
Go for it.
We've got the 10-man Money in the Bank Battle Royal. So
clusterfuck
ladder match. So let me go around the table and get final predictions on the card before we get out of here. Christian.
Someone write these down.
We'll start with Will.
Christian.
All right, Omega.
Christian.
Tim.
Christian.
Mace.
Say Jewish. Come on.
Lahayim.
No, say Muslim. Just throw everybody off. One hell of a word.
Mace.
Earth to Mace.
Christian.
Okay. There you go.
I say Christian as well.
Help me unmute my microphone.
I'm going to go Christian as well.
I just get in the picture. Mace is yelling into his mic and none of us can hear because it's muted.
I said Christian, goddammit! Fuck you guys! Listen to me!
Sorry, Mace. Didn't mean to butcher the Aussie accent.
That's all right, Tim. One day I'll get up to Canada and kick you in the nuts.
Canada?
Canada?
only if it's scripted and I book it that way, so forget it.
Okay, next. Keep going, Bud. Canada. I'm trying to get the list. So far.
Oh, trying to get the word Canada out of your mouth.
Here, I'll give you the list.
I've got it.
You got it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Got it. Good. Rey Mysterio versus CM Punk.
Punk.
Omega?
Punk.
Will.
Punk.
Mace.
Luke Gallows. I mean Punk.
Fair enough, and I'm going to go with Punk too.
Pesky Plunge, bitch!
I really want to see that.
We wish.
Alright, Mickie James, Kelly, Eve Torres, Gail Kim, and Beth Phoenix versus Michelle McCool, Layla, Maryse, Alicia Fox, and Vicky Guerrero.
The ones that are supposed to be the good guy girls.
So the Raw girls.
Yeah, the first set of bitches.
Okay. Mace.
I hate to say it, but it's going to be Vicky Guerrero's team after a restart and several...
Excuse me! Omega.
Team Festering Snooty Bitch.
Ooh.
Vicky, I guess.
Fair enough. Will?
It's interchangeable. Yeah, he's right.
My bladder, because this is the piss break match. Oh, and maybe the good girls, too. The
all
good
right.
Breasts.
Okay, I'm going to go with the Raw girls, too. I want to go for wardrobe malfunction, but only if it's Layla.
I'd go for wardrobe malfunction if it was Mickie James. Oh, even with the staph infection and the MRSA shit? She's still fucking hot, dude.
Well, you know, no more Vicky Guerrero wardrobe malfunction, okay? Let's start a petition, goddammit. Yes. All right.
Can we just say no more Vicky Guerrero, period?
That might be too far. Let's, you know, small steps, Omega.
Triple H versus Sheamus.
Oh.
And we're going to start with Mace.
Triple H.
Will?
Triple H.
Omega.
Given his Mania record, Sheamus.
All right. And Tim.
Given the fact that Sheamus is Triple H's new off-screen backroom boyfriend... And he didn't tell you about that, by the way, Spug, so I think that...
Yes, he did. I told him it was okay.
Oh. It was okay? You told your husband he could fuck Sheamus?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Because he's still spoofed with me.
As long as he's got your permission to fuck Sheamus, and it's an open marriage that you have with Triple H, I'm going with Sheamus.
It's okay. You can pour some marshmallow.
You going with Sheamus? I've got to go with my man crush, Triple H.
Your husband?
Yes.
Yep.
The Big Show and The Miz versus John Morrison and R-Truth for the Tag Team Championship. We're going to start with Omega.
Big Show and Miz.
Tim?
I don't give a fuck because I'll be taking a shit by this time.
All right, Mace?
I'm going to go against the grain and say R-Truth and Morrison.
Will?
Show Miz.
And I'm going to go with John Morrison and R-Truth. And Tim, you have to make a pick.
Yeah, I know. Show Miz retains the belt because the Big Slow has that knockout punch.
All right. And now we're starting to get into the good matches. Bret Hart versus Vince McMahon.
Can we all put down Bret Hart and just move on?
Yes.
Uh-huh. We already know Bret's going over. There's no way that will not happen.
Randy Orton versus Cody Rhodes versus DiBiase.
Randy Orton.
All right, we'll go to Tim.
Randy Orton and Cody Rhodes will swerve DiBiase with Orton getting the win.
You said Randy Orton getting the win?
Yeah, Randy Orton gets the win while I take a
whiz. All right. Omega.
Yeah, this is going to cement the whole face turn for him. Orton.
Will?
I'd actually say Cody Rhodes would need it the most, but Orton's probably going to get it.
I'm going to say Ted DiBiase, and this goes into a one-on-one match with Randy Orton at Backlash.
Okay. Well, you're entitled to your opinion.
Yeah.
As long as it's going to be.
Batista versus John Cena. Oh, fuck. Pick the lesser of two evils, everybody. Go for Batsheba. All right, so Tim's got Batista. Let's go Will.
No matter who wins, we all lose. I'd actually rather see Batista.
I did say lesser of two evils, Will.
Omega?
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Oh, Omega.
This is what an aneurysm sounds like.
They're changeable. Oh, yeah, like, I'm going to have an aneurysm, and I'm going to say, oh, God, Omega. Oh, God, Omega.
Hang on. I'm waiting for the aneurysm to kick in, so I will die immediately after saying this.
Okay, cross your eyes.
I pick Cena.
Oh!
That noise you heard, they'll make it dropping dead.
Maze?
Yeah, dig a grave. Next to Omega's for me, because I'm picking John Cena.
Might as well line me up to the next both of them, so I'm picking Cena, too.
You dumb.
All right. The Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels. Streak versus career. We'll start with Tim.
Undertaker.
All right. Mace?
Undertaker.
Will.
I'm not going to lie. A big part of me wants to say Shawn Michaels. But it's probably going to be Taker.
And Omega.
I'm still dead. Taker.
Okay. And I'm going to take Taker. And probably your main event of the evening, Chris Jericho versus Edge.
Edge.
All right, Tim?
Jericho.
Ooh.
Omega.
Edge.
Will.
Spear. I mean Edge.
All right. Well, same thing. I actually like Tim's thinking on this one. I'm going to say Jericho, too.
So you know where I'm going with this.
I do. I do. And I like it.
Yeah, because why have one blow-off match when you've only had a very short time to set it up? Doesn't make any sense at all.
Nope. Nope. I'm going to go Jericho, too. So there you go.
Since when has WWE booking made sense?
It's starting to.
It's got to make sense because Vince actually said something about TNA.
Either way,
next card is Extreme Rules, and there's no way you cannot put these guys in a rematch that involves a ladder.
No kidding. A lot of people don't.
Next card is Backlash, isn't it?
Nope. Killed it.
Anymore? Not anymore. Backlash has been canceled. It's one of the dead pay-per-views.
That's ridiculous. Anyway. That has been our show for the night. Thank you all for tuning in to 4 hours?
3 hours of this show.
Clusterfuckamania.
Stay tuned tomorrow night at... Oh, wait, cancel the music. Kill the music.
What now?
We have to unveil the final two matches in the Mania Madness.
Oh, we'll do it on CB Radio. You go and... We might have to start my show at some point.
Go sex with your wife.
But anyway, thank you for listening to the WrestleMania pre-show. Stay tuned tomorrow night, 11 p.m., immediately following the WrestleMania pay-per-view. We will have all of your post-show coverage right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network with WrestleTalk Radio. Thank you so much, and enjoy the show tomorrow night, everybody.
Well, before we get out of here, everybody, don't you guys tune in, go anywhere, because CB Radio is coming up next, and we're going to have a little bit more wrestling talk on CB Radio. And it's going to get a little bit more open, a little bit freer. So stick around for Rockus, me, and whoever the fuck else might show up for CB Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Fuck the Yankees.
Been listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, a Wild Talk Radio Network feature presentation produced by WTR Productions. For complete archives of this podcast, check out the official website of Wild Talk Radio Network located at wildtalkradio.com.